about.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
Support for Pawnee Community Radio comes from the Wendell G. and Muriel Fathright Korbelman Foundation and Sweetums Cares, a nonprofit group that puts umbrella hats on homeless people when it rains.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Tell me what it was like being imprisoned during World War II.
You get 3 ice balls a day, and that did, and they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That's not brown rice.
No, 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 no.
My vagina's so itchy. So, so itchy. So freaking itchy.
And now.
Is this a joke?
No, not joking. This is real. Painfully real. What is happening right now?
Our feature presentation.
What is happening right now?
Right now.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Monday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How was Palm Springs?
Beautiful.
Yeah?
It took Boner. It was his first road trip.
Whoa. We still talking about the weekend?
We are. Okay. Yeah, it was gorgeous weather. And he had a great time. He met his first friend, Tito Puente. And they hung out all weekend.
Tito Puente.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is Tito a dog?
Tito's a dog.
Okay.
He's also a Chihuahua. And it was just fabulous. Fabulous, because I was in Palm Springs.
Do you think Boner might be gay?
I don't know, but I'm going to love him either way.
Okay.
That's
well,
what
sure,
I've decided.
Of course.
Whatever
of course
it is, it is.
That's what you say.
He was trying to mount Tito quite a bit.
Well,
I don't know. He just goes to Palm Springs and meets Tito. It just sounds like maybe that's where we're headed
and
here.
And came back with a Martha Stewart collar and a cute little sweater. So,
wow.
You know, there's a good shot. There's a really good chance.
All right.
I have a gay dog, too, by the way. I have
Yum-Yum's.
Yum-Yum. We think Yum-Yum might be gay.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
He only loves boy dogs. He only wants to play with boy dogs. He doesn't care about girl dogs. It's just the strangest thing. I've never seen anything like it before. Just ignores the girl dogs.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's the sign.
Kevin, how was Las Vegas?
Fantastic. None of what you guys are talking about, but good.
Did you win big money?
No. But I didn't lose.
I thought
big.
Vegas was a giant ATM for you.
It can be, but I don't want to push my luck. So sometimes I give back.
Oh,
so
I
they
see.
Won't bar you.
Right.
Yeah.
It'd be too obvious if you
right.
won every time. So
exactly.
you win 8 times, then lose 2, right?
And by lose, you know, a couple, you know, 100, 150. All right.
Not too bad.
That's
yeah,
not
the,
bad.
The price of entertainment
right.
basically is all that is.
Next time I'll, you know, soak it for everything it's worth.
All right. Well, I got a great story to get us going. This is bizarre on 2 levels. East Bethel, Pennsylvania. Ralph will know where that is. A teenager there, 18 years old, accused of squeezing through the neighbor's doggy door to steal stuff to help feed a pornography addiction.
Now, that's new.
Two things that make this story curious to me. One is, who's buying porn when you could? It's almost impossible not to find free porn on the internet.
True.
They do shove it on you.
If you're 18, is that how you do you really want to get so deep into debt buying porn if you have the internet and all you have to do is go and watch it for free? I mean, how much porn do you need? How much porn do you need to own, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
So that's thing one. Thing two that really makes this story interesting to me is the 18-year-old squeezing into the doggy door to steal the porn is a girl named Amanda Rose Owens.
No.
What?
She is.
She's a porn addict.
She's a porn addict. Yes, that's what she told. That's what she told police. That's why she broke into the next door neighbor's house. She apparently had been a former babysitter for the next door neighbors, so
excellent.
knew where the stuff was, and slid into his house through the doggy door a couple of different times to steal stuff. The neighbor had gotten wise after realizing that a jar of money had been stolen, a camera, and a briefcase. So the neighbor decided to put up a surveillance camera, and that's exactly how she got caught when she came back. Rifling through his things, stealing more stuff to sell, and grabbing a Red Bull out of his refrigerator before leaving last Monday morning.
You know, you think that's the case, and then I imagine to see her, like, coming through the dog door must have still been kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe it's her.
It's somebody that I know, right. When interviewed by investigators, Owens, again, Amanda Owens, 18, allegedly confessed to the crime, saying she broke into the house 3 separate times through the doggy door. She sold things she said that she thought she could pawn to help support her pornography addiction. She had recently bought 20 to 30 pornographic DVDs and needed to pay them off.
What?
Maybe this is like specialty stuff that you can't just get anywhere.
But you can get anything anywhere.
I don't know.
I mean, really, it's not limited.
Maybe she needed to steal a computer.
And she was paying it off. She put on a credit card or something?
I don't know.
What's going on with her?
As always, please, more details. But I'm looking at her mugshot, and there she is, 18-year-old Amanda.
No.
You know what? She's okay. She has very, very severe acne, though.
Oh.
Which I think may be a deal breaker. If she didn't have all that acne, she could have had actual sex, maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's the whole thing.
With the guy.
For porn. With the next neighbor. She used to babysit for.
That's true.
Crawl through the doggy door, and then you're in.
Anyway, that story's got some twists. Huh?
Yes, it does.
It's got a little everything.
Didn't see that one coming.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show, shall we?
One could say that, but should one?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so, as we're about to do the Kevin and Bean Show.
Go forward.
Sense. We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio today, talking about football, little NFL action recap. My Arizona Cardinals, strong start so far this season. I think we're 1-4.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Good for you.
Good times.
Ralph's Eagles, 1-4 also.
Yep.
Good. Shock of the nation.
Good times. We also have Jason Schwartzman in the studio today.
Oh, I love him so much.
He's great.
I love him so much, too. And that show, Bored to Death, is so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
So good. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com giving us an update on all the celebrities.
I care about, because we barely discussed the fart fetish group that's obsessed with Nancy Grace's appearance on Dancing with the Stars. That's all I care about.
Man, that's...
They want to buy the clip.
That whole story is hard to imagine.
It really is.
The fact that she did it, and it's just crazy. We also have an announcement to make about a breakfast that we're doing.
Mm.
Our latest breakfast with. We've done many. We have a new one to tell you about today, and we're going to start giving away tickets. And it's, I don't know, pretty big.
Okay.
I'm going to say pretty big.
It's a band you've heard of.
It's pretty big.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's a group that you're familiar with.
It's big. Can't really give you a lot of details right this second, but that's coming up. And we also have Hugh Laurie, the star of House.
How about that?
So good.
Which comes back, I believe it's the second episode tonight, starring our own Ralph Garman.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Right. I believe it's only him. I think it's one of those solo things, where it's just him in the hospital. And
I didn't know that.
Everyone else is gone. Yeah, it's really amazing. It's supposed to be something. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a break, and we will come check in with Ralph, who is out at Universal City for the Suck It Up blood drive. We'll check in with him, and he will give us the showbiz beat coming up next on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Something seems weird. Where's our friend Ralph Garman? I don't see him. What's going on?
You'd be nowhere near you, man. That's where I am.
Ralph is on location today, believe it or not, at beautiful Universal Studios Hollywood. And you are there for a very, very special reason, Ralph. What's going on down there all day today?
It is our Suck It Up blood drive. We are gathering blood, which is a good thing because that saves lives. Thanks to the people at the Red Cross and Universal Studios here who are making it all happen. We are here at the Globe Theater. If you know anything about Universal Studios, it is near sort of that backlot area. What you want to do is come in off the Lancashire exit from the 101. You come in there and you park in the Frankenstein parking lot, which is appropriate for this time of year. And then take the elevator upstairs and you'll see the big red carpet featuring The Thing. You see all the Thing posters and then come on back to the Globe Theater. That's where we are. We'll be here all day. Taking your blood, and even if you don't want to give it, we'll take it forcefully.
Yeah. You don't have a choice.
Now, what time do the actual donations begin? It's not yet, right?
Not yet. No, I'll be here all morning till 10 o'clock, and then some other jocks will be down here hosting. But we start at 7 a.m. That's exactly when we kick off. So if you're here at 7 a.m., and I think it's a good idea to get here early because we're going to be giving away some prizes, including passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing that happens tonight up here at City Walk Universal Studios Hollywood. So if you'd like to score some passes for that, you can come down here and give blood. Or you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. I've got a pair of passes right now to caller number 3. If you call at that number and we're lucky enough to pick you, then you will get passes to tonight's premiere of The Thing.
Fantastic. All right, we have all that details about where Ralph is and how it's going to work today at kevinandbean.com. Of course, first, time for a look at our showbiz beat for a brand new week on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You know, you also get exclusive visit to the Thing Assimilation, which is the maze here at Universal Studios that they're doing for their Halloween festivities. So you can check that out as well. You guys were just listening to Weezer. Sad news. Former Weezer bass player Mikey Welsh was found dead on Saturday in a Chicago hotel room. Police say he was supposed to check out at 1 p.m., but he didn't. When the hotel staff went to check on him, Mikey was unconscious and not breathing. Just 40 years old.
Mm. Wow.
Mikey was a member of Weezer from 1998 to 2001, and the band posted a message on their website saying that Mikey's time with the band was vital, essential, wild, and amazing. And, of course, he will be missed by that gang, so sad news. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Real Steel, as expected, came in at number one this weekend. $27.3 million made it number one. Number two at the box office, The Ides of March, the new George Clooney film in its debut, made a little over $10 million. Good enough to make it the number two slot. Anybody see that besides me?
Mm-mm.
Did not, no. Wanted to, but
boy, it's a good movie.
Is it good?
Yeah. I'll tell you, I have not, up to this point, been a big Ryan Gosling fan,
mm-hmm.
but he is tremendous in this film. I see Oscar nod. And Clooney, I think, will get it for screenplay or director, too. It's that good a film. Really enjoyed it. Dolphin Tale was number three. Moneyball was fourth. And 50-50 came in at number five. Courageous was number six at the box office. Lion King 3D came in at number seven. Then Dream House, What's Your Number, and Abduction. Oh, I'm not if I find you first. That was number 10 at the box office this weekend. This is a great story. You know Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, Prince Frederick von Anhalt?
Yes.
This is the douchebag who wanted to have a baby with Zsa Zsa as she lied in her deathbed in the hospital at 94, missing a leg, dying.
She's missing a leg. She's in a coma, wasn't she, or something?
Yeah.
It's like horrible.
He's just been a douchebag on every possible level. Well, good news for us is he has just announced his campaign for mayor of Los Angeles.
All right! That's awesome!
Yeah, he posted a billboard this weekend saying, "Get Los Angeles back to work. Lower taxes. Lower DWP bills."
That's his cause?
That's his platform so far.
He loves billboards, too. Remember, he was buying billboards for Zsa Zsa, even though she was in a coma and would never see them.
Yeah, he got a billboard announcing their 25th wedding anniversary back in July as a celebration to a woman who was unconscious.
This guy's crazy.
She's back in the hospital, too, by
is
the way.
Is she?
Yeah, she's not doing well. So I guess he figured he doesn't have enough on his plate with a dying wife, so he's going to take on running for mayor.
Well, he definitely sounds like a serious candidate.
Get Los Angeles back to work, lower taxes, lower DWP bills. It sounds like he's running for class president.
It does.
Not the president of a city. I will get you a soda machine for the lunchroom and less homework. Oh, Kim Kardashian. I don't know if you guys tuned in last night to the first half of the Kim Kardashian Chris Humphries wedding special on E! Last night.
Oh, missed it. Darn it.
Nobody watched the wedding special.
Nope.
She tells in a magazine this week that she briefly considered not filming her wedding and putting it on television.
Please.
No, it's true.
She said
she considered not sharing her wedding with the masses.
Right.
But then she realized that, and I love this quote, she had to do it for her fans.
Well, sure.
Sure, they would riot.
She said she also would have felt cheated if she didn't film it.
What does that mean?
Well, I guess she wanted to have good, wedding videos. No way you can do that unless you sell your wedding to a network. I'm sure the $15 million she got paid for it had absolutely nothing to do with it. It was for the fans.
It was for the fans. They demanded
it. For the fans.
Yeah.
The second part of the wedding will be shown tonight if you care to.
How long is this wedding?
How long is it? Good question.
Well, they split it up into two halves. They got to get all the ratings they can out of it.
Not interested.
Nadia Suleiman has just announced that she'll be starring in a new movie.
Yes.
She's starring in a movie.
Called Octomen?
Nope.
Oh.
It's not a porn.
Oh.
It is a horror film called Millennium, and she will play a woman that gets impregnated by a demon after visiting a haunted house. Just one? The demon is a female, by the way, so I'm not sure exactly how that works out biologically, but you may want to check that out. She says that she's no actress. Really?
Yeah.
But she admits she's doing the role because now she'll be eligible for SAG insurance, so she'll get the benefits, so she'll be able to get the health care for herself and her kids.
Man.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's sad that they're hiring her to be in movies, I think. And we were worried last week about the Simpsons situation. Looks like everything has been ironed out. The contract negotiations have come to an end. No one's really saying exactly what the final settlement was, but the assumption is that the cast caved to producers' pay cut in exchange for a little extra work, because there was supposed to be one final season of The Simpsons. Looks like there's going to be a deal for two more seasons, so we'll get at least 25 seasons of The Simpsons by the time it's all said and done. And then that'll be the end. That's what people are
That's
expecting.
Crazy. That's a crazy number of seasons for any show, any time.
Yeah. It'll be a record setter. Today's celebrity birthdays. David Lee Roth is 57 years old today. Actor Bradley Whitford is 52. Wendy McClendon Covey, who was on Reno 911 and was so good in Bridesmaids, she is 42 years old today. Mario Lopez celebrates his 38th birthday. And singer Maya is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7 minutes after 6.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. How about a super secret new breakfast with? We'll give you details on that and start giving away tickets 1 hour from right now. Actor Hugh Laurie on the program today and actor Jason Schwartzman, the return of HBO's Bored to Death. All that's coming up right here on the Kevin Bean Show.
First, I don't know if you guys have been listening, but our own beer mug has been doing a lot more commercials lately. Mm-hmm. And I believe that he is now... I'd like to name him the king of advertising.
Oh, thank you, Kevin.
The king of advertising.
How nice.
Beer mug. I don't know how Kip Kapilski came about. How did that, first of all, how did the voice come about? Second of all, why name him?
The voice came about 2 years ago. Joanna Angel, very popular porn star, came in.
Speed it up.
And I, thank you. And I was like, what angle could I take? Because I was supposed to interview her. That's right. What the script said. So I was like, I could interview her as a sleazy porn director.
Okay, so this is your
sleazy... That was my voice. That's how I thought like a sleazy porn director would sound.
Hi, it's Kip Kapilski here with the beautiful porn star Joanna Angel to tell you about Exotica Los Angeles.
If you're into TNA, Exotica Los Angeles is the place to be.
Yeah, so that's the character. Why the name?
The name is just a mug's creative genius.
So it just came up with Kip Kapilski.
Yep.
How can you ask? He's the king of advertising.
Yeah, thank you.
Magic just comes to him.
Exactly.
Now, here's what I love about Beer Mug, though, is you weren't embarrassed to do that voice in front of the beautiful Joanna Angel?
See, that's the thing. That's the magic of radio.
You weren't there.
I wasn't there. I did that afterwards.
So then she says,
it's nonstop sexy.
Mmm, tasty. I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
Go to exoticaexpo.com.
I'm guessing if you had to do that in front of her, she would have gone, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not hyper enough for you. You need something a little more high energy. This is high energy, Kip Kapilski.
Hi, Kip Kapilski here, and I'm telling you, don't miss Exotica Expo, the largest event in the USA dedicated to love and sex. Presented by Hot
Goes on for like 2 minutes like this. He never slows down.
Set on August 26th, 27th, and 28th. Right,
don't these commercials have to be listened to by someone and approved?
I would like to suggest to you that they were listened to. And they weren't happy with his delivery, so they sent it back over and said, give us more Kip.
Yeah. I read it straight, and Kevin's right. They wanted more Kip.
Wow. They wanted more Kip.
Who doesn't?
And you know who delivers?
Beer Mug.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
This is a commercial for Lucha Vavoom. Now, I think Beer Mug is trying to be a Dracula, but Mexican Dracula. He's Mexican Dracula.
Wow.
This is one of the Mexican wrestling touring companies, and was it a Halloween time event? Is that why he's okay?
Yeah, and you
no, it was not a Halloween time
it
event.
It wasn't.
No, it was.
Why are you a vampire?
Have no idea.
Okay,
just genius.
Yeah.
So he starts out being a vampire, and then he turns right into being Mexican.
Lucha Vavoom is hitting the highway to make its Orange County debut Friday, June 27th. See wrestlers from Mexico, Texas, and Los Angeles battle in the ring, and lovely ladies dance on a maze.
Dance on a maze.
Yep.
Mexico, Texas. Los Angeles.
I was going for the Mexican announcer, and I totally, I don't know how.
And you slipped into Dracula.
Dracula, yeah.
Wait, that wasn't supposed to be Dracula?
No.
Wait, that's your impression of a Mexican announcer?
That's one I would like to put away. I'm not proud of that one.
In Beer Mug's defense, and we say this every time we see a commercial where a really, really white guy is doing a Hispanic accent. It's hard to find Spanish speakers in this
town.
That's
correct.
I mean, how are you going to find somebody who could read that the way an actual Mexican announcer would read it? That's not available.
So what do? You go to the king of advertising.
Yeah,
that's the whitest man in the world and tell him to do some of his wacky accents.
Now, wait, you need hold on a second. You need a sensitive read?
Oh.
Do you need the economy's bad and people are hurting?
You have that?
Read?
He has that range?
The king of advertising.
You've probably heard that there's going to be a shortage of parts for the building of new vehicles. Things happen. The market changes. Inventories get low. Prices go up.
Things happen.
Yeah.
Things
serious.
Happen.
The recall is serious, man.
Yeah.
Hurt the economy.
Very serious. This is serious beer mugs.
That's tender.
So we got Kit Kapelski. We got Mexican Dracula. And we got sensitive mugs. Yeah. And then that brings us full circle back around to Oktoberfest mugs.
Yes. Oh, the best mugs of all.
Who is going to begin by singing this. Now, was that a request from the client, or did you think I need to sing the chicken dance?
That was me.
That was all you. How that do you do all, that?
Light some candles, get into the zone.
What up, everybody? It's me, Beer Mug, and I'm here to tell you that every Friday and Saturday in October, you're not going to want to miss Oktoberfest.
You're not going to want to miss Oktoberfest!
Beer Mug, by the way, God damn you to hell for putting the chicken dance in our heads last week.
Yeah,
I can think of little else.
It does get stuck in your head, unfortunately. And then he's named Beer Mug. People, don't you understand the tie-in?
There's also great food, beer. Did I mention beer? Bring your mom, your dad, your grandma, and party like a Bavarian. There's going to be a live Oompa-Pa band.
Yes,
there is going to be.
There's going to be a live Oompa-Pa band.
Who could pull that off except for Beer Mug, the king of advertising?
I'll be wearing Lederhosen. Nope. For more information, go to FairplexOktoberfest.com or text FEST to 80672.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
That was stuck in my head all weekend long because of this stupid man.
Lederhosen.
That's the point. That's the point. I know that's the point. That's why you're the king of advertising.
Yep.
Doesn't mean I want it there, though.
Well,
no,
hey.
No, but that's the
that happened.
See, Kevin,
one
day I make a lucrative career out of this,
unlike you're not already,
and I'm making it rain on strippers at my mansion, you're invited.
I can't wait for that day.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the DirecTV Red Zone is going to be up later on today talking about the weekend in NFL football. And speaking of sports, what a bizarre argument broke out between you and Ralph on Friday. Well, and I begged you guys to save it for on the air because I think our listeners will enjoy this very much. It was so weird. What happened, Kevin?
Well, it was only bizarre because there's just right and wrong. There's no argument, really. That's the problem.
Here's the thing, though. You know how everybody, me the worst, you know, you assume that kind of everyone's the same.
You do that, yes.
I do that a lot, yeah. Okay, so the Los Angeles Kings had their first game of the season on Friday, but it was in Sweden. They were playing the Rangers in Sweden, and it started at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Ralph says, how are you going to watch the game? And I was on my way to Vegas, so I said, I'm going to tape it, and then I'll watch it later. And that's not acceptable. Like, Ralph can't do that. If he missed the game, am I saying this right, Ralph? You would just go to the highlights. Forget the watching the game.
Yeah, you don't watch a sporting event on tape. You watch sports live. That's what you do.
Yeah, in best case scenario. But
no, in all case scenario, but you watch the game or you do not watch the game.
So you've never watched a tape, or for the most part, you've never watched a taped sporting event?
I don't watch a taped sporting event after it's over, because once it's over, it becomes irrelevant.
Now, what
you
want
to watch the highlights, you want to see, you know, the best plays of the game, then you watch SportsCenter or something to see the score. I get that, but you don't go back and watch a game after.
But isn't it just as fresh and as new to Kevin's eyes, whether he's watching it live at 10 a.m. or at 10 p.m. in his hotel room in Las Vegas?
Yeah, that's the key.
It may be fresh to Kevin's eyes, but it's irrelevant. The game has been played. It's over.
Right, but if I'm able to avoid all, and this is the difficult part, if you're able to avoid all of the different ways that you can find out whether your team won or lost.
It's pretty easy to miss a hockey score, by the way.
How dare you?
Come on.
No, but you know, on Twitter and everything else, you got to kind of be careful. And if somebody's saying something or you're watching SportsCenter, you got to. But if you're able to avoid it, then it's perfect. It's fine. It's new to you. You don't know what happened.
But it's over.
Right, but
you're not watching anything that's happening.
Right, but you haven't seen
history. It's the past.
All right, let me ask you this.
Look, if it's the same thing, watching a taped game and a live game is real, then why doesn't Fox or NBC or any of the other networks just tape football games and then put them on in primetime so the ratings would be higher in primetime? Because it doesn't matter, because if it's not live, you just watch the tape.
Yeah.
Well, I think they show it at 8 o'clock at night and you get better ratings if you're a network.
I think most people who want to watch the games live during the day and can will.
But in because cases like Kevin's, where he's unable to.
Live.
All right, let me ask you this question. Is this true for all live events? Like, could you not watch the Emmys unless they're live because it's already over and the winners have already been announced before you see them?
No, you just fast forward to watch the speeches in that case, which is like the highlights. If they had a highlight show of award shows, then you would watch that.
So
you...
What about Olympics?
He doesn't watch the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't watch the Olympics anyway. I wouldn't watch them live, taped or otherwise.
Them all live.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't see them in Braille.
In that particular case, that or the X Games or any of those, it's impossible. You can't spend 12 hours watching.
Right. And okay. And the experience is enormously diminished because of that.
You get to skip all the commercials, though. You get to watch that game so much faster.
That's
all right, that's not the goal, to watch it faster. The goal is to watch the event live.
That would be my goal.
All right, let me ask it this way, and then maybe we need some help on this one, because this is very confusing, I think, to Kevin and to me, why Ralph can't watch a taped sporting event. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067 if you can weigh in on this. You love watching your Eagles play football. Maybe not this year, but in general, you love watching your Eagles play football.
Even this year. I love watching it.
Okay. If you haven't seen the game, why can't you enjoy watching it, even if you're watching it an hour later or 2 hours later or 12 hours later, if you don't know how it comes out?
Because it's pointless. The game has been played. You're not watching anything that's relevant at that point. It's historic.
You're watching something new to you for the first time ever, though.
But it's not the game. You're not watching them play. The next play is irrelevant, whatever's happening, because it has already happened. The game is a foregone conclusion. The outcome of the game has already been established.
All right, let me ask you this then.
So if there's been amazing plays or something, then you watch SportsCenter and you see the four or five great moments of the game and you get the score.
But you don't get the whole sense of it. Like, for example, new players on the Kings, first regular season game, you want to see how they gel. You want to see the lines. I mean, you don't just go
for
the
highlights.
Then
you should watch the game then.
I did. I watched the game at, midnight or whatever I got around to it.
When it was over and irrelevant.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, it was irrelevant to the world, but for me, I wanted to see it new, and for me, it's still kind of, as good. But
the point of the game isn't just the outcome, it's actually what happens during the game that is enjoyable, right?
It happens, yes.
Okay, this is weird.
You want to be watching it as it happens. So that is the point of live sports.
So you've never watched a sport taped?
I've never watched a taped game, no.
Really? That's so bizarre. Now, let me run my...
Especially in this day and age where everything is covered so well by the sports networks, it's really to sit down and to sift through a 2 or 3 hour game after it's been played is just a waste of your time.
All right, let me run this by you. This was my weekend with the UFC. The UFC is like 3 hours long or whatever, and there's a bunch of fights. Great fights. Great fights. So I sit down and I start watching them. And then my friend comes in, he says, "You're not watching the fights, are you?" And I go, "No." Because he wanted to watch them. So then we taped them, and then we watched the first part of the Gray Maynard Frankie Edgar fight. Mm-hmm. And then we had to get on the plane. So he had it on a DVD. So then we got on a plane, and we watched a second part of it. And then we had to turn it off again, and then I went over to his house afterwards and watched the final round of the fight.
That sounds awesome. That sounds like the best way to watch a sporting event. It really does.
It is.
I recommend that to everyone.
It's not ideal. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather watch it all together, but you're still, to me, I'm just as interested, now that two rounds are over and I don't know how it ended.
You don't remember you're married every morning until your wife tells you. Everything's a new adventure for you.
No, but I'm saying I'd rather wait for an hour than go, okay, I had to stop watching the fight. I'm just going to go watch the highlights. Because in that particular case, who knew Frankie Edgar would come back? That was ridiculous that he came back after getting just demolished like he did last time in the first round.
Yeah, hey, thanks. I have it on tape. I haven't watched it yet. Thanks.
He came back well before you watched it.
Right.
I mean, at what point is the diminishing return?
I didn't know he came back.
At what point does it become a diminishing return for you where it's not worth your time?
Couldn't
you see that in a highlight? Couldn't you see that comeback?
No.
Wouldn't they show you the best parts of that comeback?
Yeah, they would, but you really have, that was only,
Do you cheer and get excited?
Yes.
While you're watching something that's already happened?
Very much so.
Do you still root for the North to beat the South in the Civil War? Come on, Lincoln. Lincoln, we're with you. Come on, free those slaves.
But wait, you're talking about 200 years ago versus today.
All history. It's all history.
All right, listen, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take some phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. I don't know if we're going to be able to find someone who shares Ralph's opinion on this.
We already have
only
two
watch
people.
Tape games.
We already have
two people. Suck it.
We already have two people. They're the only two we have, and they can't watch tape games.
All right. Well, we're going to find out more about this this bizarre mental defect when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are about 20 minutes away or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show of announcing our latest breakfast with really, 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 really big band, really, 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 really small place. And you get to be there to help us interview the band or artist. I don't want to give anything away here. And get a chance to see him, her, or them perform live. All those details coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Spandabale.
Oh, don't give it away, Ralph. Let's be a secret.
Spandabale.
I'm talking to someone here. Never mind.
Not included.
All right. Right now we are talking about a bizarre topic. We found out on Friday that Ralph refuses to watch any sporting event on tape. If he can't watch it live, he just catches the highlights later. He's never taped a game or a fight or any kind of a sporting event that he can't watch live so that he can go home later and enjoy it. Which I think is probably how a lot of people do it. But we're going to find out at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Bill. Bill is on line 5. See what he has to say to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So, are you able to enjoy a taped game or no?
Well, absolutely. Let me just start by saying thanks for effing up my whole week. Because how am I supposed to live in a world where Kevin makes more sense than Ralph?
You're not supposed to. Kill yourself.
That does turn everything upside down.
First thing, I would have Beer Mug take a look at Ralph's scalp. Look for signs of head trauma, because this is the dumbest argument I've ever heard.
Well, I don't think it's an argument. I think it's just he can't enjoy it if he knows it's past.
If you can avoid the score, it's new to you. It doesn't matter if it's not history until you know the outcome.
No, it is history. It's over. Regardless of whether you know it or not, the game is over. There's nothing that you're watching that is of any relevance.
But you're watching your team. You're watching the way they play.
Yeah, but the
you're
excitement watching... of watching sports is knowing at any moment anything can happen and change everything.
Still does, though. Still
no,
does.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't change everything when you're watching it delayed because it's already happened. How can you not understand
honestly, did it hurt when you hit your head? That's all I'm asking.
All right.
I love your head trauma chunk. You're very funny, sir.
Bill, thank you for the call. Let's try Jason, see what he's got to say online. Line two. Jason, thanks for calling into the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Good morning, party people.
Hey.
I got to side with my boy Ralph on this one. You know, and I appreciate where Kevin's coming from as a big fan of the NHL, but the only way I'm taping it and going back and watching it is if it's game 7 of the Cup Final and I want to see my team skate in the Cup and I can't see it live.
So really only the final of the final. That's it. The Super Bowl of whatever sport you're watching.
Yeah, because you figure if you're monitoring it from your smartphone or whatever and you know that they've won and you want to see that celebration and see guys handing off the cup.
Oh, I see. So you're saying you already know the outcome, but you're still going to watch them celebrate. I think that's a little different.
That's something that's worth it.
Yeah, I hear you. But that's a little different. You're talking about not watching anything else except for really just the celebration.
Yeah, because I can't. I mean, I'm such a big fan that I got to know what's going on now. I can't go back and watch it and feel like it's going to be relevant at that point.
Well, right. There's a difference too between the first game of the season and the seventh game of the Stanley Cup. For God's sakes!
Oh, huge! Yeah, I mean, it's apples and oranges there. But yeah. I mean, really, that's the only way that I'm going to go back and watch it.
All right,
but let me ask you this, Jason. I think Kevin made an excellent point in particular about this Kings game Friday, which is what started this whole debate. You're a hockey fan. Kevin's got new players on his team that he wants to see how they skate and how they interact with the team and what they've got to offer. I mean, it's very exciting to see the new season unveiled with the new guys. Can you understand why you don't want to watch that live rather than just hear about the score or highlights later?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what I was saying. I can appreciate where he's coming from as a fan because, you know, with all the moves the Kings made, adding Mike Richards and everything else,
right.
He's going to want to see all that. You know, it's going to kind of be cool to see the first game, especially overseas.
But you can't watch. But it's at 10 a.m., by the way, on a Friday. It's at 10 a.m. because it's in Sweden.
Yeah, I can totally appreciate that. I mean, but otherwise, I mean, if it's game 10 and they're playing the Panthers, I don't know where we're at.
Okay, all right. Thank you for the call.
Especially in hockey, because there's 80 games, you can miss a game
and
still see your team develop.
I agree.
Rather than watch a game that's already happened. I mean, my Flyers have new players too. They've got Simmons and a bunch of new guys. I wanted to see how they gelled.
Right.
So I watched the game.
But I'm just saying, listen, if you can watch the game live, always that's what you want to do. Of course.
Yeah.
But if you can't,
Then you watch the next game.
Then you can
watch
still
it.
Enjoy it.
All right, let me ask it this way, Ralph. Now, I know this isn't the best analogy in the world because you don't watch Saturday Night Live. But Saturday Night Live, part of the thrill of that show is the tightrope of, hey, these guys are on national television live and they could screw up and it could be disastrous. It could be bad. It could be terrible. It could be a surprise. You never know. How about that show? Would you ever watch that show, as I do many weekends, on Sunday mornings, even though it was aired live the night before?
No, that's different because entertainment, whether it's acting or performing or whatever, that is, you know, regularly taped and watched. I mean, you don't have to watch 30 Rock live to appreciate the comedy of that. Something that's
but
being
it's
acted,
history, Ralph.
Something that's being acted is by nature recorded for you to watch later.
But Saturday Night Live, more than most shows, has spontaneous moments where things happen that they don't expect, or the guys start breaking up at the jokes
that
and
never
that
happens.
Sort of thing.
And you know, Saturday Night Live, when you're watching it here, you're not even watching it live.
That's true. So Bean shouldn't watch it ever.
No, I'm saying that his argument of watching Saturday Night Live is pointless because you're not watching it live.
Well, I do. I do watch it live because I watch it on the East Coast feed. But my point is, to me, I can still watch it on Sundays even though it was live the night before and it doesn't make a difference.
Entertainment and sports aren't they're apples and oranges. I'm talking about live sports.
But you're talking about live sports because the difference between that and fiction is that anything could happen at any second. Okay.
Right. Right. But, and you're watching it to be in the moment to watch that team. Right. That is the key. I mean, that's why sports are supposed to be live. That's why people love them live.
Of course.
Because you are in the moment.
But if you're able to avoid what happens to you, all of the, you know, twists and turns are new. You don't know.
You're not time traveling. You're not back there watching it while you're watching it taped. It's already over. Are you aware of that while you're watching it?
Of course. But if I don't know what happened, then why not?
I don't think there's going to be a consensus on this discussion today. I think we're just going to have to leave it there and say, oh, well.
Oh, how dare you. Let's see. Agrees with Ralph. What? Paul, Raymond, Dustin. Everyone's with you, Ralph.
Even Raymond?
What's up?
By the way, big show still to come here on the Kevin and Bean program. Tomorrow, William Shatner will be in the studio talking about his new book. and his new album. And of course, coming up next, we'll give you details on the latest Kevin and Bean Breakfast With and give you a chance to win your tickets to Ralph.
Berlin.
I'm sorry?
Berlin.
It's not Berlin. Not Berlin. I can definitively say it is not Berlin. Tell folks just joining us where you are live today, Ralph. People want to come down and see you.
I am at Universal Studios Hollywood. We're here at the Globe Theater, which is located right across from the Terminator 3D place where you go to see the cool 3D show. Right there, the beginning of the back lot area. You park in the Frankenstein lot and then come up the elevator. We're right. You can see a red carpet. You come right up the red carpet, and that's where we're going to be collecting blood today for a blood drive. Suck it up, blood drive. We're collecting blood, of course, because it saved lives. And if you want to come down and donate, that would be great. We start taking donations at 7 o'clock this morning, so just in a couple minutes we'll open up the doors. Also, if you want to come down, you can get some very cool prizes. You don't even need to donate if you want to win these prizes. Just come on down. We've got, of course, passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Thing that happens here at Universal Studios Hollywood tonight. You also get exclusive access to The Thing Assimilation, the new maze that's featured here at Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Haunt, a horror rather. And we've also got passes and tickets to Incubus, Morrissey, Death Cab for Cutie, The Dirty Heads, Foster the People, Pepper, Tiger Army, The Kooks, and a lot more. So come on down and say hi to me. I'll be here till 10 o'clock.
But isn't it true that if they come down and say they don't want to give, you're going to take their blood anyway? Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Well, by hook or by crook, you're giving blood. Don't get me wrong.
All right.
Time for an elbow.
And for the showbiz beat, here's Ralph.
Speaking of The Thing premiere tonight, why don't we give away a pair of passes right now? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First person that gets through with that number will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of The Thing tonight. And, you know, here in the theater, while people are waiting to give their blood, they're showing footage from the movie and behind-the-scenes clips from the movie.
Oh, cool.
Just looks awesome. You know, the scariest thing about The Thing is it takes the form of anything it eats. So, like, you're hanging out with your friends in this exclusive cabin in Antarctic, and, you know, you're working on something, you find this creature, and then, let's say it eats Kevin, then all of a sudden it just looks like Kevin, and we're all hanging in the room, and the monster's actually Kevin.
And then all of a sudden I just start eating you?
Well, yeah. If we're not aware that you've been absorbed by the monster, you've been assimilated, how do we know that you're not the real one? But then, like, the monster says something smart or something, then we know it's
how
not the real
dare
Kevin.
You?
We just kill it. It's Monday, means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Real Steel, in its debut, made $27.3 million, made it number one this weekend. Then The Ides of March, the new George Clooney film, in its debut, $10.4 million. That was good enough to make it number two. Boy, I really liked that movie. Saw it this weekend. I would check it out if I were you. Dolphin Tale was third, Moneyball, and then 50-50 in the top five. Courageous, The Lion King 3D, Dream House, What's Your Number, and Abduction, number 10.
at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan in the news. You know, she just recently told a judge in July that she couldn't afford professional counseling because she was broke.
What?
She said she's out of money. She is flat broke and couldn't afford counseling for her drug and alcohol addiction because she just didn't have the cash.
Okay.
Which made it harder, for everyone to understand when she bought her new Porsche this weekend.
Okay. All right.
You liar!
She just got home from a jaunt through Europe, by the way. While she was traveling around the continent, she came right home, went to her friendly local Porsche dealer, and got herself a new Panamera. So that car retails for about 80 grand.
Ouch.
And she's got to meet with a judge in about a week.
Oh.
And she hasn't performed all of her community service yet.
This is just getting better and better.
She may need a new defense strategy, I think.
Yeah.
When she heads in.
When was the last thing she got paid for, Ralph? Do we even know? Has she worked at all since she's been out of jail?
She was in Milan, I think, as part of this trip to Europe, doing a photo shoot there that she was paid for. So that's the last thing I know of. We were talking about George Clooney. Just now, his new movie opened up this weekend, number 2 at the box office. He has a legendary sense of humor, and I just found out this story this morning. I thought it was great. When he for a long time, when he checked into hotels, you know, a lot of celebrities will check in under an assumed name so people don't know it's them.
Right.
Clooney used to check into hotels as Arnold Schwarzenegger. And friends say he would get the biggest laugh every time someone would call up to his room at the front desk or bellhop and address him as Mr. Schwarzenegger.
That's awesome.
That was the funniest thing. But I guess that doesn't really work so much anymore, especially when there's a maid looking for you or something like that. Adrina Patridge.
Oh, where's she been?
She just debuted her new fashion line at Sears this weekend.
All right, Sears.
What is it with Sears and the fashion line? The Kardashians have a line at Sears. Now Adrina Patridge also has one. She apparently was signing autographs and taking pictures with fans at a Sears in Cerritos, California this week, and apparently it was packed. So she's still got her hardcore fans.
I'm going to tell you that if it weren't for this deal, she would have never stepped foot in a Sears in her life.
Oh, yeah. It's the first and last time she's ever going to be at a Sears. Celebrity rehab's all over, boys and girls.
For good?
Yeah, for good.
Aww.
Dr. Drew has ended his run on the reality show. Because he's too busy.
He's too busy.
14 other talk shows he's got going on. But word is, as you can imagine, at VH1, the network is not looking forward to relinquishing the rehab franchise. So they're starting a new show called Relationship Rehab, where famous couples will hash out their problems in a therapy session on national television.
That could be good.
Yeah, no word on who's going to be the doc, though.
Depends it's not on who be it
Drew.
Is.
Yeah,
so we'll have to see. But it could be interesting to watch people air their dirty laundry on television.
How dare you?
Familiar with the name Bernice Marlowe?
No.
Berenice Marlowe is a French actress who has just become the latest James Bond girl.
Wow. You got to be pretty hot to do that.
She is way hot, by the way. Take a look at her photos when you get a chance. She is the Bond girl in the next 007 film. It's 007-23, the 23rd in the series. Rumor has it's going to be called Skyfall.
Skyfall?
Yeah.
What was the last one, Ralph? Wasn't the last one just nutty and we were all
Quantum
like...
Quantum of Solace?
Yeah, we were like, that's got to be a placeholder until they come up with a real name.
Quantum of Solace sounds like Goldfinger compared to Skyfall.
Yeah.
That sounds like a generic like science fiction alien invasion movie or something. The skies were clear until one day, Skyfall, starring Taylor Lautner.
You better get out of here, you aliens.
Not if I get you first.
And while we're talking about acting, Billy Joe Armstrong has just landed himself a new role. The Green Day frontman is going to be appearing on the season premiere of Showtime's Nurse Jackie.
Huh. Wow.
He's going to be playing a role on Nurse Jackie, not himself. No word yet on what the character will be, but the executive producer of the show just tweeted a photo of Billy Joe with Edie Falco and said, wait till you see the season premiere. So, no word on what Billy Joe will be playing, but he will be acting, which is kind of cool. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Lee Roth is 57 years old today. Bradley Whitford, very funny and talented actor, he is 52. Wendy McClendon Covey from Bridesmaids is 42 years old. Mario Lopez, Saved by the Bell, is 38 years old. And singer Maya is 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got a big show still to come here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday, including actor Jason Schwartzman. Also, later this hour, and I know Ralph Garman couldn't be more excited, his co-star from the TV show House, Hugh Laurie. He plays Dr. House himself. Ralph is on episode 2 of the new season tonight. We'll talk to both of those guys about that later this hour coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, though, let's talk about our latest breakfast.
Okay.
We have done many breakfasts with bands, and basically what this is we have a giant band, we have a tiny place, you get to show up, the band performs, and you get to help ask questions. So we interview them, and then we send the microphone out into the audience, and then you interview them. And we've done many, many bands in the past.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our breakfast with My Chemical Romance.
Blink 182.
Radiohead.
No doubt, everybody. 'Cause I'm
just a girl. Nine Inch Nails.
Ladies and gentlemen, Metallica.
Never,
U2.
Foo Fighters. It's
time. Let's hear it for Weezer.
Breakfast with the Killers.
Breakfast with Green Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some more live music?
Ladies and gentlemen, Linkin Park.
Breakfast with Views. This is crazy.
Breakfast with Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Here's what I've learned. Here's the conclusions that I've come to over the years that we've been doing the Kevin and Bean Show and doing the Breakfast with. A, you people are terrible interviewers.
Okay, not great. Not great.
I can't believe how bad your questions are, but we still keep inviting you back in to ask more questions. What's your influences for this record? I mean, seriously, come on. And two is they are... And I don't want to get too flowery here, but I mean, they're really, for people who love rock music, they're special. They're special to actually be there, to be so close to those bands that you love, that you've listened to in some cases for many, many years. You get a chance to meet them, shake hands, get pictures, ask questions. I mean, it really is the kind of thing you can't buy tickets for. You can only win your way in. And they are pretty magical. So it's always very exciting, especially when we're getting ready to do a breakfast with for the first time with somebody.
You use the word magical twice.
I know. I know you're going to make fun of that. But I'm just saying, you know, you hear a lot of stuff given away that's fine. But something like this is, I mean, you can't even put a price on something like this, because if you love these bands, it's so amazing to be able to get that close to them and actually talk to them.
Would you go so far as to say they're magical?
I would say they're magical. Yeah, I would say they're magical. So anyway, so are we ready to announce the latest Breakfast With, and with a special twist, because we've got a brand new location we're going to be inviting you to. Also, I'll let you have the honors here.
All right. We are doing a Breakfast With Coldplay. It's at a new location, live from the new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock.
Nice.
How about that?
They built this down the hall from the studio. So yes, you actually come to the radio station and see the band in a beautiful new space that is created especially for live performances that looks great, sounds great, still small, though, but still a great place to see a show. You know, we did a Breakfast with Coldplay, I think, years ago, back before they were one of the biggest bands in the world. I mean, it's been a while since we've had a chance to see these guys sing live on the radio. But this new album is getting ready to come out, as you know, and everybody's just raving about it based on the songs that we've seen so far, the new songs they've been doing in concert. So they're going to be doing it all, old and new, and answering your questions. So if you love Coldplay, this is your deal.
And I got to be honest with you, there are bands that worry us a little bit. We go, okay, we need extra questions. We're not sure how this is going to go. This is not one of them.
No.
They're so much fun.
So good at answering questions, and Chris Martin's so funny and personable. So you'll get a chance to come see them up close. You get to help us interview them. Even though Bean doesn't like your questions, you'll get to ask a few of them. And if you'd like to go, what we're going to do right now is we're going to have you call and sing your favorite Coldplay song.
Uh-oh, that sounds like trouble.
And it's not usually... This is worse than the questions in general. I mean, basically, people can't sing. But if you get through and you get on the air, we're going to pick two people.
Okay.
And you're going to come to our Breakfast with Coldplay, live from the new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. So call now, 1-800-520-1067. You pick the song. Just be good. Don't be bad, like we are. And we'll take your calls coming up next. Right here on the Kevin.
That's the Kevin and Bean Show on the air here on a Monday. Jason Schwartzman, also Dr. House himself, Hugh Laurie, joining us in minutes. Right now, though, giving away tickets for Coldplay. Just announced Breakfast with Coldplay at the brand new Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock.
Now, this is a big room that is right down the hall from where we're sitting right now. You are invited to come down and join us with the band Coldplay. They will be performing live for you and answering your questions. How are we giving away tickets? The very first pairs of tickets right now.
Don't take for granted you're invited. We have to invite you.
Right.
That's the thing. And we're going to have people sing Coldplay songs. Now, this is normally not good. I'm going to be honest with you right up front. This is normally you don't get the best singers when you just say, hey, call in and sing a song. But you do get big fans.
What are we're looking for here? We're looking for enthusiasm. We're looking for excitement. We're looking for passion. I mean, it's more than just, hey, I'm technically a good singer and can sing, right?
I'd say magic. We're looking for magic.
Okay. All right. If you want to be first to join us for Breakfast with Coldplay, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll just do the best we can to pick the right people. We've had a pretty good track record over the years of stocking the pond with people who are really actually big fans of the groups that we're featuring. So let's see how Bianca does on line one to get us going.
Hi, Bianca.
Hi.
You want to come to our Breakfast with Coldplay?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay. And what song are you going to sing?
Fix You.
Fix You.
Hey, right. Fix You. Fix You. I'm sorry. Oh, I got. Wow. I misheard.
Yeah, Fix You.
Can you promise us that's the only time that joke will be made, B?
Yes, I can.
All right, Bianca. Sing for your tickets.
Okay. Ready?
So, yes.
Okay. Go. When you try your best, but you don't succeed. When you get what you want, but not what you need.
Bianca, you're 100% tone deaf, right? I mean, that sounds good to you in your head, right? But can you imagine what it's like for us on the other end?
No, it sounds good in the car. I'm in the car.
Oh, no, everything sounds good in the car.
Yeah, when you're singing along with the band on the radio, of course. All right, you hang on. I'm not saying you won't win. I'm just saying you won't win. But hang on.
You might win.
You might win. There's a possibility.
You don't know if the other people are going to be worse, Bean.
That's the point. That's why I said hang on, because we don't know. All right, let's try Marlene. Marlene, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Tell me about Breakfast with Coldplay. What'd you think when you heard the announcement?
I was super excited. I was on the freeway home from work, and it's just, I felt such great emotion that I started screaming out and so crazy. Some lady was next to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. The lady next to you was crazy?
No, I'm the crazy one. All right. I know, but she just looked at me with this weird face.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, I'm excited.
What song are you going to sing? Coldplay song.
Clocks.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Marlene with Coldplay.
Okay. The lights go out and I can't be saved. Tides that I tried to swim against have brought me down upon my knees. Oh, I beg and plead, singing, come out of things I said. Shoot an apple off my head. And
I think that's maybe enough.
We're going to do Breakfast with Marlene instead. Hold on, Marlene. Don't go away.
Thank you very much for the call.
I thought it was absolute indulgent rubbish.
Oh, that's just mean. Come on. Harsh. All right. It's hard to find guys who want to go to Breakfast with Coldplay, but I think we got Alex on the line. He's on line three. Alex, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
So far, I think it's still there's a way for you to win. I don't think you're shut out yet based on the talent we've heard in previous calls. So good luck to you. What song are you going to sing?
Well, I actually have Fix You tattooed on me, so I'm going to do Fix You.
Okay.
Dude, you have the word tattoo.
Tattooed.
I do.
Okay. All right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Lights will guide you home and ignite your bones. And I will try to fix you.
Not bad.
Good.
I didn't think that was too bad, yeah.
Not bad. The tattoo scares me.
The tattoo, though, I mean, that's Coldplay fan right there. Yeah. Hey, did you see the movie with those crazy old people singing that song? What was it, Young at Heart, I think it was called? Did you ever see that one, Alex?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you didn't.
They're like 100, and they sing that song, and it's very, very touching. All right, thank you for the call. You are in the running to be America's Next Top Model.
Nope.
to win tickets to Breakfast with Coldplay.
Yes.
All right, we got time for one more. Who do you like?
We have, let's do Todd. Todd is going to sing a Coldplay song. Hi, Todd.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. All right, you're our fourth caller. We have two pair of tickets, so we're going to have to pick two.
Okay.
After you sing. What song are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Scientist.
The Scientist. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Todd with Coldplay, The Scientist.
Running in circles, chasing our tails, we're heads on a science apart. Nobody said it was easy. one ever said it would be this hard.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Todd.
Well,
right.
That is worse than I ever could have hoped for.
He didn't shy away from those high notes, did he?
He kind of went into lounge singer territory, don't you think?
Yeah. I appreciate that. All right. We had line one, Bianca, who was just terrible but entertaining. Marlene, who thought the lady next to her was crazy while she was the one crying over Coldplay. Then we had Alex, who I think we all thought did a pretty good job singing that song. And then we wrapped it up with Todd. So we could only pick two. Lisa, who do you like? Who's your two out of these four?
Marlene and Alex.
That was going to be my choice.
I was going to say the same thing. All right. Sounds like we got some winners.
Yay! Marlene, congratulations. You'll be joining us at Coldplay. Hold on. Thank you. Alex, congratulations. You'll be joining us for our breakfast with Coldplay as well.
Oh, yeah.
Last week it returned for a brand new season. Tonight is episode number 2 on Fox at 9 of House. Ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't love this show anymore, and we couldn't be more excited to welcome the star of the show, Hugh Laurie, on the Kevin and Bean Show now, Mr. Laurie.
Why, thank you for that warm welcome. Thank you.
Hey, don't put on a phony British accent because you want us to think you're better than you are, dude.
I know. I shouldn't really be doing it because I'm working, so I should be, between the hours of 9 and 9. I'm American, so this is very unusual for me.
So American. This sounds false when you do the British accent.
I know.
Wow.
You're right. Most British people, it is pure affectation.
But in your eighth season, though, Hugh, it's got to be almost automatic now for you, right?
No such thing.
No?
No such thing.
Oh, interesting.
No. I mean, we have, apart from anything else, we have new problems every day, but also... It's part of the fun of it is staying nervous, staying worried, staying. How do you chaps feel when you go to work? You get anything automatic about that?
Yes, actually, we stopped caring a long time ago. Hugh.
Oh, really?
Yes, just misery. Misery is the only thing that's a constant day to day.
The difference is you care.
Right, exactly. And it's so funny. I mean, I mentioned, and Ralph mentioned 8 seasons in now, yet the show has never suffered a lack of quality, and it came back strong as it's ever been last week. I mean, that was a very intricate episode to have House in prison and hundreds of extras. I mean, that was quite a debut, my friend.
It was a very big deal for all of us. It was ambitious, and... those are the kinds of things that, it's a bit of a risk. You think, an audience, they may just, they're seeing so many elements of change. They're seeing new faces, whole new setting for this. Maybe they'll turn away, but they stayed with it and I think enjoyed it.
Well, that's what brings us to our next question, which is tonight's episode and, your guest star that plays the role of Bobby.
Yes.
Are you worried about the audience sticking with that?
Just a little bit.
Okay. Are you worried about being upstaged?
Not really.
Okay. You put it in his contract.
I'm worried about him trying.
You had it in his contract. At no time was I to appear on screen with him.
Oh, is that right?
Interesting. Yeah, that's how we avoided that problem.
No. Tell me, Ralph. Ralph, of course, plays the role of Bobby as a guest star on tonight's House.
Yes.
And the way you've explained it to us off air, Ralph, is people are going to forget about Dr. House after they see you on this show. Like, you own it, right? You're on for 59 minutes of the 60 minutes tonight, right?
Well, look, the crew was murmuring spinoff the whole time I was there. So
really?
I'm assuming there will be something in the works soon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I hear. Except that the crew are mostly Swedish, and spin-off in Swedish means something completely different.
And it is not a compliment.
Is it a curse word?
It is a little bit of a curse word, much as the Swedes ever curse.
Now, Ralph, what can you tell us about Bobby's, I'm sure, very pivotal role on tonight's episode?
Yes, it is pivotal. I play the ex-boyfriend of Liza Snyder, who is sort of the patient of the week, and she is waiting to get a lung transplant, a double lung transplant, and Hugh is brought in to diagnose the lungs, basically. The patient tonight is simply a pair of lungs breathing in a big Lucite box.
Awesome. Just some.
Only lungs?
Yes.
Only lungs. Huh. The lungs are alive because the lungs are the only
thing... With the sound of music?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that sorry. Bad? How could I not?
Wow.
Isn't that incredible?
Hugh, I mean, we're sorry.
When we saw them there, we were all saying to each other, oh, come on, this can't be, they cannot do this. This is not possible. But apparently this is a procedure that has been done and that can be done. They can keep lungs alive longer than any other organ.
That's bizarre.
And there they are breathing away in a box. It is really freaky.
I have to tell you, and this is the voice of actor Hugh Laurie on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about episode number 2 of this new season of House on Fox tonight at 9. I have to tell you, a lot of the credit goes to the writers on your show who, A, make science and medicine palatable to us, the layperson at home, but B,
these unbelievable storylines that have gone throughout. I mean, we're supposed to believe that after what Dr. House did, he has even a chance of coming back to work at this hospital. But somehow you're going to make it work tonight, aren't you?
I hope so. I mean, what you have to believe, and I don't know how much of a stretch this is, but what you have to believe is that my gifts are so consummate that the world cannot turn without me.
Whose doctor hasn't run in a car through a house? I mean, really?
Right. We've all had bad days.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, I'm not simply released. I'm released on a very tight leash. I'm actually going to be on an ankle bracelet the very strict parole conditions. So
let me ask you one more thing, Mr. Laurie, about tonight's episode and how it relates to the bigger picture. Ralph's character, Bobby, has scenes with the great Robert Sean Leonard, who plays Dr. Wilson on the show. Mm-hmm. And, God, we love him. We've had him on the show before. He's so much fun. How do you describe the relationship? How does that relationship work between House and Wilson? Because Wilson has to hate House, yet somehow won't let him go. What's up?
Well, there was, I can't remember who it was, someone actually made a very good observation about this relationship, that because Wilson appears to be so angelic and House appears to be so diabolical, there's something is not right. Either House isn't as diabolical as he pretends, or Wilson is not the angel he appears to be. And there is something dark about Wilson. I mean, he's a good friend and he's a good doctor and all those good things, but there is he's not an uncomplicated man. He has his own demons,
certainly. Yeah,
and they share that.
I think Wilson is allowed to expose that dark side of him a little bit when he's with House, and vice versa. I think House is able to be a little better when he's with him.
Exactly.
Well, we couldn't be more excited about tonight's episode. And Ralph, as an actor in this town for a lot of years, I mean, you're checking off the boxes fast. First, you're in Sharktopus, and now you're on an episode of House. Does it get any better than that?
It keeps going up and up and up. And I'll tell you, the thing about doing a show for a long time, Hugh, is your crew over there that I got a chance to work with for a couple of days. What a great group of people.
And they're wonderful.
And they have such a good time working. Everybody seems like they really want to be there, and it's just a pleasure to be on set.
They are absolutely wonderful. Of course, they might have been in particularly good spirits because I wasn't there that day.
No, could have been it, yes.
Because I tend to bring things down a little bit. But they are wonderful. They're an amazing, amazing bunch of people.
Well, we consider it a real honor to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, Hugh. We've been fans of yours for so long, even before House, but it's appointment television for us every Monday night at 9, and we thank you so much for talking to us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you. All right, take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Actor Jason Schwartzman joins us coming up after the top of the hour. What are you talking about with the interview killer, by the way? Because I thought it went fine with you, Lori.
So
I thought we had a nice time.
Yes, but you're so lucky that he decided to play along with your nonsense.
What nonsense? What are you talking about?
No, stop it. We were talking to Hugh Laurie a minute ago, and he was talking about tonight's episode, which Ralph stars in as the very famous Bobby.
Yes.
I don't know anything about it. But anyway, here's how Bean ruined it.
The patient tonight is simply a pair of lungs breathing in a big Lucite box.
Awesome. Just some. Only lungs?
Yes.
Only lungs. Huh. The lungs are alive because the lungs are the only
thing. With the sound of music?
Yeah.
Bean, the interview killer.
At least you interrupted him to say that.
Yeah.
He was talking, and you interrupted him for the sound of music.
Yeah, he had moved on, and Bean just had to step in with the kill.
First of all,
the interview killer.
First of all, I couldn't resist. But second of all, he laughed. He would appreciate
was being
a joke like
so
that.
He, nice.
He has
you.
A background, as you know, Ralph. He has a background in comedy and music and musical comedy.
What does comedy have to do with what you say?
Good question.
I thought Hugh Laurie enjoyed it very much, as did I. And in case you're asking, no, I'm not going to take it back.
Only
so
lungs.
There.
The lungs are alive because the lungs are the only.
With the sound of music?
Be the interview killer.
How dare you? How dare you?
You know what it's like? It's like they said we should have Hugh Laurie on to talk about the episode. The folks at House did.
Right.
And I begrudgingly said, yeah, okay, let's put that together. Because when I go off and do a show like House, it's like you're dating like a really beautiful, wonderful girl. And then you bring her home to meet your family.
Right.
And your family's like a bunch of alcoholics.
They're embarrassing.
Inbred. And they're like racist. And they say inappropriate things at dinner and stuff. And you cringe knowing that your date is going to meet your family. And they're just a bunch of yahoos.
You just wanted that to be over, didn't you?
Yes.
As much as you love him on the show, you just wanted that to end before Bean could interview kill.
I kept thinking, let's just get through this interview as quickly as possible. Maybe nothing bad will happen. But no, Bean had to show up at the dinner table with no pants, drunk.
So that means no second date for you in the hot gym,
yes,
basically.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Well, you can watch Ralph and Hugh Laurie and the whole cast of House tonight on Fox at 9. Very excited about seeing that.
Only speaking lungs. Of, the lungs are alive because the lungs are the only
with the sound of music?
Be the interview killer.
Speaking of Ralph, you can meet him today. He is live at Universal Studios Hollywood. It's the annual blood drive. This year's theme is Suck It Up, and the doors opened less than an hour ago, Ralph. What's the response like from folks giving blood today?
The minute the doors opened, a huge crowd came streaming in. Everybody, they were backed up here waiting for people to give out blood. It's awesome how many people have turned out. So come on down. Yeah, give yourselves a round of applause. You deserve that.
They're a long ways away, but
you're all going to be excited. Drained of your life fluid soon, so
enjoy. And you're taking all of their blood, right, Ralph?
Yeah, we're taking it all. Okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, I don't know if we told them that when they came in or not. We are taking all of the blood.
All right, good.
If you come down early enough, you can score some very cool things, including passes for the red carpet world premiere of The Thing that happens tonight here at Universal Studios Hollywood. Also, you get exclusive early access to The Thing Assimilation, which is the maze at Universal's Halloween Horror Nights that they have here. We've got passes for Incubus, Morrissey, tickets rather, for Incubus, Morrissey, Death Cab for Cutie, The Dirty Heads, Foster the People. A ton of great stuff we're giving out here. And you don't even have to donate if you come down to win those prizes. But we would ask that you do.
Yeah, absolutely you should. As I've so often said over the years, it's literally the smallest amount of time you can give to literally save a life.
Yes, and Bean loves giving blood. He said it earlier.
I adore giving blood.
So much fun.
It's so much fun because it's like all blood and junk. All right, Jason Schwartzman joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph is on location if you want to go down and say hi at Universal Studios. Right now, though, he is on the air with the Showbiz Beat on The Kevin and Bean Show.
And while we're talking about The Thing, the movie that is in theaters everywhere this Friday, we want to give away a pair of passes to the premiere tonight here at Universal Studios Hollywood. If you'd like to go see the red carpet world premiere of The Thing, you can check it out tonight if you're the first caller through at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. If you get through, you'll win a pair of passes to see The Thing, and that's the film that is helping us out with the Suck It Up blood drive today. So we appreciate it. By the way, we'll be taking blood here till 4 p.m.
You're going to be there till 4 p.m. That's great news.
I will not be here. I'll be here till 10.
Oh.
However, the good folks at Cedars-Sinai and Universal will be here taking blood until 4. So if you can't make it right now, make sure you get down here at least at some point. And the good news is the Grim Reaper has been walking around here to the people who are giving away blood. And I think that's very encouraging for
yes.
people. The minute they come down to give blood, to have the Grim Reaper standing there watching over you
as you
give blood.
Accept your lifeless body.
Something bad's going to happen here. I want to be gone before it does. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Number one at the box office, Real Steel. Most industry insiders predicted it would be number one, and it was. By a large margin, $27.3 million. Made it number one this weekend. Right behind it, The Ides of March, the new George Clooney movie, $10.4 million. Came in at number two. I got a chance to check that out on Friday, and boy, did I love that movie. Good, good movie. Dolphin Tale was number three. Moneyball and 50-50 round out the top five. Courageous, The Lion King, Dreamhouse, What's Your Number, and Abduction were the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan. She's got some issues.
Yeah.
She claims that she's broke, so much so that she told a judge last July she couldn't even afford professional counseling for her drug and alcohol addiction issues because she is that broke. So imagine everyone's surprise when she went to her local friendly Porsche dealer this weekend and bought herself a new Panamera. Those are going for about $80,000 retail, so that was a bit of a shock to people.
She's lying.
Especially the elite transportation limo and security services.
Uh-oh.
Because they announced this weekend that she still owes them a bill of $90,000.
Oh, dude.
How much limo is she using, for God's sakes? 90 grand?
Well, she likes to drink and she can't drive, so I guess she needs a limo everywhere she goes.
Wow.
90 grand she still owes them. So while she's off spending 80 grand on a car, they still have their hand out waiting for her to pay her bills.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to see that money anytime soon. They might want to put an ankle bracelet on her. That seems to be the only way to get a hold of her. The Simpsons, we talked about last week, there was some concern whether we'd have any more Simpson episodes or not because there was a big contract negotiation between the cast and the people at Fox who make The Simpsons. Well, that's all been ironed out. They announced on Friday that the cast will be back for not only a 24th but a 25th season. And then likely, insiders say, they're going to call it quits after that. After simply 25 years on the air, we're going to lose The Simpsons. So
they're just all willy-nilly. They're just like, we're going to stop. Just like that, without any warning or anything, huh?
Well, you know how it is when they have these contract negotiations. Everyone draws a line in the sand and says, if you don't do this, then you won't get that. And no word yet on exactly how they ironed out the issue. But the sense is that the cast simply accepted the pay cut proposed by Fox in exchange for 2 more years' worth of work. So everybody gets a little something-something in the long run.
Ow! My heart just stopped!
Television news, CBS has apparently pulled the plug on the sitcom How to Be a Gentleman, which makes me feel bad because that's my buddy David Hornsby's show. And it looks like they have moved it already from Thursday nights at 8:30 to Saturday nights beginning this week.
Oh, that's a good sign. That's a good sign, that Saturday
and then
night
they cut the order back from 13 episodes to 9. So they're doing everything they can to sort of push them out the door without officially saying so. We have a new Bond girl. Her name is Berenice Marlowe. She is
French. I looked her up, Ralph, after last time. You're good call right there.
Yeah. She is French, and she is smoking hot. Not a lot of acting experience. But look, if Denise Richards can play a Bond girl, and pretty much anybody
But
can.
She didn't really pull it off now, did she?
No, she really didn't. As Dr. Christmas Jones, nuclear physicist. this will be the 23rd in the Bond franchise, and word has it it's going to be entitled Skyfall.
Nope.
Maybe they have time to change that before the movie comes out. We'll wait and see. Sad news for Weezer fans. Former Weezer bass player Mikey Welsh was found dead on Saturday in a Chicago hotel room. Police say he was supposed to check out at 1 p.m., but he didn't, and that's when hotel staff went in to check on him, and they found him unconscious and not breathing. Mikey had asked for a late checkout, eternity, he said. So I guess that should have been an indicator, I think. Too soon?
That's rough. Just
maybe a little.
Mikey was the Weezer bassist from 1989. Excuse me.
What's happening down there?
The Grim Reaper's freaking me out.
Are they taking your blood right now?
1998 to 2001.
What is going on?
He was a bass player for Weezer for a while. You
all know right.
That is. Michael Jackson's tribute concert was held in Cardiff, Wales this weekend. His kids were there, Prince, Paris, Blanket. They were all there, and they waved to the crowd at Millennium Stadium. And Paris wore a red and black leather jacket. That looked, looked a lot like the one her father wore in the Thriller video, which was creepy on a lot of levels. The stage was shaped like a giant glove, guys.
No, it wasn't.
See what they did?
No,
see what they did there?
Was it really?
It really was.
Oh, no.
Highlight of the evening, apparently, were performances by Christina Aguilera.
Sorry.
Gladys Knight. Gladys Knight was a highlight of the show.
Wow.
CeeLo Green. LaToya.
What? She
also
can't
performed.
Have been a highlight.
In her first public appearance in more than 20 years, LaToya got on stage and sang for everybody. Black Eyed Peas pulled out of the concert last week. Chris Brown had visa problems getting over to the UK, so he was a no-show. But three of the original Jackson 5 members did Blame It on the Boogie along with British boy band JLS. This sounds like a hell of a show.
It does.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? David Lee Roth. Van Halen fame, 57 years old today. Bradley Whitford is 52. Wendy McClendon Covey, she was in the Bridesmaids movie, 42 years old today. Mario Lopez, Saved by the Bell, is 38. And Maya celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman and Walk the Showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, looking ahead toward tomorrow. Not only do we have more tickets for our just-announced breakfast with Coldplay, big band, little place. You get to be there, help interview the band, and listen to them play live. Not only do we have that. William Shatner will be here tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice.
And it's been a while, Sarah Michelle Gellar, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's all tomorrow right here. But first, give
are
me a little
Are you saying tomorrow is better than today?
I'm saying today is fantastic. Okay. You're not going to believe how good tomorrow is also. I'm saying they're both must-see TV. That's all what
right.
I'm saying.
All right.
First, though, give me a little bit of that Coconut Record song, would you?
All the shadows in the city used to love you. What?
That, my friends, is the voice of actor Jason Schwartzman, who joins us in studio right now talking about the long-awaited return of his series called Bored to Death. Jason, how are you, man?
Hi, how are you guys? How are you?
Oh, we love having you in. You're one of our very favorite guests. But I got to be honest, you look homeless now. What happened? Hard times?
No. Are you referring to this beard?
Full beard.
This beard that you can hear.
Awesome.
Do you hear that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just for
you look like a young Santa Claus now. What's going on?
But I take that as a, so thank you. I take that as a compliment. And B, it's for work. For work. I'm growing out for work. But
are you playing Santa Claus?
No, I'm not playing. I'm not playing the young Santa Claus.
Okay.
Are you playing a fisherman who lives in a fjord?
What are you playing? I'm playing a sort of a stand up comic from the 70s.
Okay.
Who's a fisherman?
Right. 70s. Okay.
Who's a fisherman?
Right. Yeah. It's funny because you grow a beard. At least in my case, like I'll grow it and it looks like stubble for a long time, and then all of a sudden people say, "Hey, you have a beard." You know, it's weird. Like there's no middle ground.
It's just one day it's just stubble, and the next day it's a full.
The middle ground is people thinking, "Wow, is he homeless?"
No,
but they don't say it out loud.
But does anything else? Read home? I mean, is there a...
No, nothing else about you seems homeless. But...
Well, there's a scent.
There's no, yeah.
What does your wife think of the beard?
She loves it.
Seriously? Really?
She loves it. She loves
does
it.
Does she loves it because it's on you, or does, like, would she love anything about you?
No, she would not love anything about me. And she loves it. I know for a fact because she's been trying to convince me to grow one for a long time.
Is that right?
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
Interesting.
And not to embarrass her, but to look at her track record of ex-boyfriends, a lot of them had beards.
She was heavy into the Hasidics.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass her, but it's you know.
So she has a type.
It was grow it or else?
Is that
what you're telling me?
It was grow it. Yeah, it was grown or else.
All right. Have you seen... You grew the beard, obviously, after you filmed the new season of Bored to Death, which, by the way, comes back tonight on HBO. So have you seen your co-star, Zach Galifianakis, since you've grown your beard so you can get all whisker-worry with him and find out who's better?
No, I haven't seen him since, but I don't think it's not as big. I mean, his is a whole different thing.
His is... he's been growing it for a while, so...
But he,
it's
you want
powerful.
To talk about growing fast?
Yeah.
That guy can grow a beard.
Really?
Like overnight.
How long is this? This is a couple of months.
This is 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
That's still very impressive, Jason.
But he
really is.
Do you remember he was on Saturday Night Live a couple years ago and he shaved his beard midway through?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the people on our show were nervous because we were set to start our show a couple days later, and you know his beard is a part of our show.
Of course.
And it's you know it's like in
it's
the
a part
writing.
Of him.
Yeah. And they were freaking out. And he's don't worry, I can. And I after like 2 or 3 weeks. He was back
to full beard.
Yeah, I mean he can grow. It's amazing. It's
look.
And
I
it's
watched that
beard.
Episode. He shaved that halfway through Saturday Night Live and had 5 o'clock shadow by the time the show ended. It was pretty remarkable.
I think now if you go back and watch it, I'm not sure, but I think he wears then a fake beard at the end of the show.
Yes, that's
is
what he
that
did.
Right?
That's what? Exactly what he did for comedy because he's wacky.
He shaved it.
What's it?
Then put on a fake beard.
He's one of the people. It's Jason. It's
he's
Ted
one of
Danson,
the best.
And it's Zach Galifianakis. What's it like working with him? Because he seems like he's a little nutty.
Zach?
Yes.
He's not nutty.
He's not at all.
No, he's the best. I mean,
I love him too, but he seems like he's weird, crazy, fun,
super incredible. One of my closest. I mean, I'm honored to say that he's you know that he's one of my closest friends now, and you know.
But does he surprise you, or do you kind of...
Surprise me with...
Whatever. He just seems like he's the kind of guy that would do stuff all the time that's, like, a little shocking.
His mind is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, the way he thinks, and he... I laugh harder with him than a lot of people. When I come home from work, my face is hurting, and I have no more laughter in me. Like, my wife could try to do something funny,
it right
and it doesn't work. No, I am obsessed with his humor. And he's really, I think it's funny because he gives Ted a hard time. And Ted, by the way, is
Ted
a
Danson
god.
Is hilarious.
So I just would like to say that up front, that he's a god.
Okay.
But it's just amazing because Zach really can lay into him. But as a joke, I remember one time Zach had a... took someone's walkie-talkie that was on a set, and he was just—it wasn't even on. He was just—or actually, it was on, and he was doing fake walkie-talkie calls. And at one point, he said, "Ted's career over." And it was that single line gives me a faith in a higher power.
It seems to me that you like I would. Like, you don't feel like you could make fun of Ted Danson that way. You know what I mean?
Because of the respect
so
you have for him.
Right. And whatever.
Yeah,
but Zach is that guy who could get away with it.
You'd be surprised what the human body is capable of doing after a couple days with Ted.
I love how I saw some of the publicity materials. This is actor Jason Schwartzman in the studio on The Kevin and Bean Show. Bored to Death returns tonight on HBO. And I saw some of the materials, some of the interviews you guys did promoting the new season. And the guest star list you have is unbelievable this year. And Zach says, it's nice to finally be working with some real actors, he says, as he looks
face over it, Ted.
Yeah.
Who all's on the show, and how do you get such crazy guest stars for a little HBO show like this?
Well, I do think that it is a great show, and
I agree.
And I think that people, I'll be honest, I think that it draws great people, and there's not a lot of work right now. It's hard for everybody to find. And so I think that it's a great place for people to come and hang out. And we have a great set. And, you know, the writing is really good. And we play strange characters. And the real writer, Jonathan Ames, these situations that he comes up with are so unique. I think people love it. And we have a lot of returning guest stars like Oliver Platt. We had Olympia Dukakis back this season.
Both great.
Dick Cavett.
Oh, how about that?
God. I don't even
you
know
and Dick Cavett. He's got to be 100.
Okay. Maybe that wasn't the... he's alive. He's okay. alive, and he's incredible. Amazing. He's amazing. He interviews me. I go on his show, the new Dick Cavett show, this season, and I was so nervous because I was being interviewed by him, and even though it was acting...
You weren't sure he was alive first.
I wasn't sure. But then you find out that he's extremely alive.
Right.
He's the coolest.
But let me ask you this, Jason.
Who else is on the show?
But you've been interviewed by everybody in the... All right, hold on a second.
We're asking the questions.
But you have the Google over there? You got the Google?
No, Isla Fisher, yeah.
Who's on the show this year?
You've been interviewed
Chris
by
Elliott.
Everybody in the world. Hold on, Jason. I want to get back to this.
Okay.
Because you talk about how you're nervous with Dick Cavett. But you've been on all the talk shows. You've been on with Letterman and all those guys. Probably even Carson. You've been around so long. I mean, do you get nervous sitting down in front of David Letterman, too?
I
think so too.
I think I've said this before, but you know, your guys' show, all these shows, I admire them and am a fan of them too. And so to be on them is a surreal experience.
Mostly ours.
I am excited every time I come in. I do get so excited when I come in. I'm like, I can't believe this is actually happening to me. And I'm not lying. But like, you know, I've been on David Letterman's show. It was a while ago. But it was so nerve-wracking because, you know.
He's David Letterman.
He's David Letterman. Yeah, and he's incredible. And he has the power. He's the best. And,
how about Jon Stewart? Have you done his show?
I did it once. It was incredible.
That must have been
It was incredible.
Too.
It was so cool. I mean, and you see like why these people are so successful. Like they really are just they're just plugged in a way. Like when I was on Jon Stewart's show, you just walk out there, he's just talking to you and everything he says is so funny. And I mean, of course, that was a while ago too, but all these people are amazing. I was on the Today Show with Hoda. And
Kathy Lee,
I've been on there a couple times with Kathy Lee, but she was not there. So Kourtney Kardashian was my guest host.
You were on the Kourtney
and
day.
I thought they were great too. Was great.
See, now it doesn't mean anything because you think everyone's great.
That's not true. I can tell you who's terrible.
Okay, please do.
Jason Schwartzman is here, bored to death. This is the show. It returns tonight at 9 on HBO. We will talk more about it when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend, if I can call you that, Jason,
you
actor Jason Schwartzman in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You loved him in Rushmore and I Heart Huckabees, Marie Antoinette, Darjeeling Limited, Scott Pilgrim. What a film resume. Although you probably don't tell people about Bewitched, right? You don't even mention Bewitched. Is it on your resume? Or you
mean, do I offer it like as a right. like you might know me from?
No, probably not usually, right?
But I have to say that I didn't have a fun time doing it, and I got to work with Will Ferrell, who's one of my heroes. Like,
absolutely.
And honestly, I had an awesome time, and the movie is actually pretty funny. But I only don't mention it first just because of all the other incredibly bad things that could come before it that I could offer myself up to. It would be third in line.
All right, let me put it this way. If you were to be, you know, tragically and sadly hit by a bus on your way out of here today, would the first line of your obituary be HBO's bored to death's actor, Jason Schwartzman, killed today? I think so, right?
Of course.
I don't know.
That's a tough question.
Your calling card today, I would imagine.
That's a whammy to throw at me at 8:20. Yeah, in the morning.
It's a little tough.
I would think it would say a great man.
Great beard.
A great man, great beard. A great man ran over somebody today.
Well, let's play this piece of audio from Bored to Death, getting ready to start. Where are we up to now? Season 3 starts today,
This is
right?
season 3.
Season 3 so on HBO fun. At 9 o'clock. Such a fun show. And before we hear the clip, just set up for folks who are brand new to it. You are playing sort of Jonathan Ames, the guy who created the show, wrote the material that it is based on, right? And you do what in the show?
I am a writer by day, but I make no money being a writer. I'm basically such a procrastinator. And I had this girl leave me because she said that I wasn't an adventurous man. So right. I put myself up on Craigslist as an unlicensed private detective because I'm also a big avid reader of mystery novels. And I end up getting all these bizarre cases, but because I'm unlicensed, they're not, you know, the normal cases. And I kind of get thrown into the world of it. But as the seasons have progressed, the cases have actually gotten more intense and dangerous and insane. And this season, I don't even know what you would call some of these. For instance, there is one episode where I'm staking out, I'm following somebody who is pretending to be me.
Okay.
Who is pretending to be John. Another person has put himself up on Craigslist.
Okay.
As me. As an unlicensed. To get my money.
Okay.
And the case, I'm following him following two okay. plushies
this
having
very,
two plushies. There's plushie sex. We got it. We got plushie sex.
What more do you need? You got plushie sex.
Elder
got
love. We have elder love. What more do you need? We have elder love.
Elder love.
We don't need that.
You don't need that.
So Jason and then Ted Danson plays George on the show, and Zach Galifianakis plays Ray.
Ted Danson.
See?
Sorry, it just comes out.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Here's let's roll the clip.
What I have learned in my 63 years is that we all walk this razor's edge of feeling like our lives are both meaningful and meaningless.
I'm searching for my father.
I'm sick of being a park slope mom.
I want to be your son-in-law.
Are you delusional?
It's obscene. This is a really good case.
Try!
I think I'm being followed.
I'm going to clear my name and set you free.
Five more minutes, kid, and we shoot you in the head.
Do you have to be so explicit?
Ted's daughter, who's my age,
yes,
gets engaged to a man who's his age. So that is a man his own age saying, I want to be your son-in-law. And it's so twisted. It's awesome.
Is that why you jumped back when you heard that?
I was like,
wow.
Whoa, okay.
But that's why we like it, because it takes such weird turns.
Yeah.
There are very few shows that you can kind of not predict where it's going.
Yeah, I mean,
and this one of them.
When you get the script, that you read it, it's so exciting, because the stuff that comes out of Jonathan Ames' brain is truly unique.
He seems amazing, yeah.
And
somebody who is writing about this upcoming season, and tell me if you agree with this this characterization, Jason, made the point that all three of you guys, you leads on the show, mm-hmm. are disastrous with women, have no abilities or affinity whatsoever to make relationships work with women, and somehow you are all drawn to one another, and every season it seems like the male friendships get so much stronger to the detriment of being able to relate to women. I thought that was interesting.
That's very interesting. See, why didn't someone tell them? Why didn't they?
Did they tell you that?
Yeah, before we shoot this season. That helps me so much. I'd like to go. Like, that's great.
Maybe you could call them all back to the set.
Maybe. God, can I get that guy's email address and thank him and send him some flowers? But it is true that, we are all very bad with women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I love this show, because it's not ironic or cynical. It's very, hopeful. These guys are trying to find love.
They really mean it, and they mean
they
it
really
well.
Mean it, yeah. But they mess up their lives all the time. They always are failing in some way, messing up with women, or they say they won't drink, and then they can't resist. And that's the kind of the heart of the show, is this attempt to do better but fail.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's a really, really fun show. I mean, we have always been urging people to check it out. It's one of those shows that makes you glad you have HBO, and it comes back for season number 3 tonight at 9 o'clock. And Jason Schwartzman, always great
Thank
to have you.
You
in, and congratulations on the little baby. I'm glad all that's going so well for you.
She should be listening right now. Hi.
Wait, how old is she?
She's 10 months old.
She shouldn't be listening right now.
Really?
No, I doubt it. I mean,
she
should
loves
be listening
show.
Now until she's around 20, seriously.
She tunes in right about now. She likes about 20 minutes before the showbiz beat.
Oh, fantastic.
She comes news. In about 17 minutes early.
That's good news.
So, yeah.
Jason, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Time for our visit with TMZ.com.
It's weird. Itai, I don't know what's going on down there, but is it Columbus Day and you're the only one in the office? What's happening, dude?
I'm the only one in the office. No. There are actually a lot of people here. It's just that they're in the middle of a taping of a show, so I had to duck out as they were filming to
come
and talk to you guys.
Okay. And you are a producer at TMZ. You work on the TV show and in the newsroom there. And what's going on today, man?
Well, you know, there's a big story out of Wales. Apparently, there was a big Michael Jackson tribute concert, and everyone showed up. Christina Aguilera and Gladys Knight and CeeLo Green. Everyone was there. 50,000 fans. The one person who didn't show up was Jennifer Hudson, who apparently left the concert producers in a lurch, telling them she wasn't showing, like, we're talking very, very closely to the deadline.
Like minutes before? I'm not going to be there?
Yeah, something like that. She tweeted on Saturday afternoon that she wouldn't be doing the show, citing major production issues, according to our sources. Jennifer is saying that the show producers didn't give her enough time with the music that she was supposed to be singing. But according to our sources, Jennifer received the music the same time as all the other performers.
It looks like Christina Aguilera ate her.
Yeah, those are not the most flattering photos in the world of Christina up on your website right now. She's a big girl.
Terrible.
But Itai, this concert, I mean, we didn't even, honestly, when Ralph first came in and told us that this concert was going to be held in Wales, first of all, we thought, hey, that's convenient for everybody, Wales.
Yeah, right.
What a bizarre place. I mean, by the way, that might be a great first question. Why did they decide to have it in Wales? Because that's where Michael Jackson and his family are from? What's the deal?
I don't know. I don't know why it was done in Wales, but I can tell you we sent one of our producers to the show, and he had to take like four different flights just to get there.
Yeah.
Was there for about 20 hours and took another four flights, connecting flights back, because there's no like direct flights from – it was ridiculous.
Was that a new guy that you were torturing?
And it just – it seemed like it was, you know, kind of half-ass, and half the acts that were originally rumored to be appearing ended up not, and then the Black Eyed Peas were in, and then they were canceled, and then it was like half the family was going to be there and the other half wasn't. The whole thing just seemed like it was a mess. But the clips that I've seen, and I'm sure we'll see more on the TMZ TV show tonight, it looked like there were over 40,000 people there, and they ended up having a pretty good time, and ended up being a pretty decent show, I guess.
Yeah, and the Michael's kids were there. Paris and Blanket and Prince were all there. Paris was wearing a replica of Michael Jackson's Thriller jacket, which is kind of cool. And Blanket was wearing his, you know, typical black jacket, red shirt, black tie with the armband. So.
Shouldn't that be what he's called now instead of Blanket then?
It does black seem jacket. Like now that the dad's gone, they should give him a real name too, by the way.
Could you imagine, like, you know, being 20 and dating a girl and your name is Blanket?
What's your name?
Blanket. Exactly. All right, let me, one more question on this, and then I want to move on to the awesome Tiger Woods story, and that is, what did LaToya do on stage? Does she sing, or did she just come out and read poetry, or what?
It was just bizarre. I don't even know what to call it, but yeah, it was a little weird.
Well, she crazy, right? I mean, she's the one of the family to me that seems like
she's really
off her rocker.
Right? She really is like the weird kind of person in the family, if you can say that, with a family of weird people.
Right. When you say that about Michael Jackson's family, it is pretty tough to be the weird one, but she is.
You know it's bad when you're the weird one and you're a sibling of Michael Jackson.
Yes. Exactly.
All right. Tell me about Tiger Woods. I did not read into the story, but the headline involves someone throwing hot dogs at him. Where was he and what happened?
Isn't that crazy? He was at a golf tournament. He's just about to putt and someone throws a Frankfurter at him.
Sweet.
And I love this story because the guy was intoxicated. Of course, he gets rushed out of the place by security. I love this because the quote from Tiger is priceless. He says something like, "Oh, I was looking up and the hot dog was already flying at me in the air."
Sweet.
It's kind of funny.
What would make a guy think to throw a hot dog at him?
I don't know. But I think could you imagine being Tiger Woods and there's like a hot dog thrown at you in the middle?
By the way,
the guy can't get a break.
That's one thing where, like, in the world of professional golf, it's very, 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 very serious.
Yeah.
You don't throw a hot dog.
No. You don't want to throw a hot dog at Tiger Woods.
I do, but I'm saying they don't like it.
You can
maybe
see
he was upset at his performance lately. Who knows?
Could be. Yeah, that's the thing. Was it just, hey, I'm drunk and I want to throw something at this guy. What do I have handy? Or was it meant to be some sort of a statement about Tiger and how bad he plays or about his affair? I guess we'll never know. You can get all these stories at TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ television as well. I hope the rest of your staff enjoys their day off. Ite, thanks for joining us on the Kevin Amin Show, man. We appreciate it.
No worries.
Thank you. It's the Kevin Amin Show for a Monday. Monday means Andrew Siciliano, ladies and gentlemen, host of the Red Zone on DirecTV and, of course, one of the hosts of Total Access on the NFL Network, weekday afternoons, well, Monday through Thursday anyway, at 4. Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, everybody.
So much
that was a high energy
about.
Good morning. I'm sorry. Good morning, guys.
Thank
Hi.
You.
Yes. Hello. Thank you. What's
everybody's
up?
So
I'm happy to be here.
Everybody's
yes.
a little under the weather. Ralph's a little sick. You're a little sick.
I'm popping Sudafed, and I can't. You have to go behind the counter to get Sudafed. Now, what a joke.
Yeah, well.
I know a guy. I'll give you
that. You do? All right. Yeah. Thank you. I'm almost out. Thank you. Thank you.
Park. You have to go to the park and give him $100, but hold
on. Out of the back of his van?
Yeah, I wanted to start with, because so many football fans in the last 10 years have only known Al Davis as a despised, hated joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the tributes that were pouring out all weekend long, and of course Al Davis passed away, if you missed it, at 82, but the tributes that have been pouring out make it sound like he's the most influential figure in the history of the sport. Why?
That's a great question. He isn't the most influential person in the history of the sport. However, if you had to make a Mount Rushmore and put five guys on there, mm-hmm. he would likely be on
what
there.
What if you had to put four guys on
there? Yeah, thank you. I knew I was stepping in that way. I knew it.
No, because my reaction, and I'm not a huge Raider fan. I'm not a huge mm-hmm. Raider hater. My reaction was the Raiders fans are finally going to get a good team.
And that's not a bad reaction. And you know what the irony is? Is that they are now above 500 this late in the season. Think about it. We're not that late. We're only week five. They're above 500 this late in the season for the first time since they went to the Super Bowl in 02 in San Diego.
Yeah. I mean, they usually win about five games a year.
They have.
So they're doing better. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Well, they went 8-8 last year.
I think so, yeah.
I think they went 8-8 last year. They didn't make the playoffs, but they swept their division, which was absurd. They have lost at least 11 games. This is before last year.
Mm-hmm.
Every single year since they went to the Super Bowl in 02. They wow. had become, and Raider fans are going to hate this, but I mean, the facts are the facts.
Right.
They had become the equivalent of the Clippers in the last decade.
Ouch.
They were the football Clippers in the last decade. And part of it was because Al had lost it, with all due respect.
I think most of it was. I mean, I think it comes down from the top, and they're going to be happy to move on.
Now, we're not going to curse the man now that he's gone. You have to look at what he did before this past decade. And if you look at what he did before this past decade, he was an assistant coach. He was a coach. He was a scout. He was an owner. He was a commissioner of the old AFL. He helped bring the leagues together. He helped needle the NFL to force the merger. He did leave Oakland and come here and then go back there. And I think LA got screwed over above anyone else in all of that. I still find it amazing that L.A. fans still want to schlep up to Oakland every weekend. Oakland is the Raiders' wife, all right?
Yes.
We were the girlfriend.
We were the mistress, right? Yeah.
He cheated on the wife for 11 years and then decided to turn around and go back to the wife. But we, as the girlfriend, say, oh, please don't forget about us.
Yeah.
And we run up there every weekend. But what he did as a pioneer, not only with the offensive game, but he hired the first black head coach, the first Hispanic head coach. Amy Trask is still CEO and now even more prominent after his passing, the first female executive of a major sports team. And when I say executive, I mean in charge.
Right. Yeah.
He was, in many ways, a pioneer. He was great. And the last 10 years tarnished his legacy a bit, and that's what most fans remember, unfortunately, especially the younger ones.
Yeah. Very well said. And Jeffrey Ross, I think, had the line on the internet this weekend when he said that Al Davis was the first person who ever died of natural causes in Oakland, which I thought was actually was very funny. All right, let's talk about other things. Ralph is, you can't see him, but he is with us. He's down at Universal Studios today. We got the big blood drive, the Suck It Up blood drive going on till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Help him feel better about the Eagles, the dream team being 1-4. What's going on, Andrew?
I can't. They suck. Sorry.
No, that's the problem, is they don't suck. That's the problem.
Well, that's why
I think fans are so frustrated with this team, is because they have an enormous amount of talent, and the games they're losing because of sloppy play, because of penalties, because of ball insecurity, fumbles, turnovers. The team is solid. They've had leads going into the fourth quarter for most of those games that they've lost. They're just a mess when it comes to discipline. I blame the coaching more than I blame the team.
You can blame Andy Reid because he deserves all the blame. He's in charge. He's in charge, and Ralph is right. The mistakes they're making are inexcusable. The Buffalo radio broadcast, when the game ended yesterday, when the gun sounded, I'm going to paraphrase it, but the Buffalo broadcast said, a team just beat a collection of talented players.
Yeah,
and that's the difference. Buffalo's 4-1, and no one expected them to be 4-1. And Philadelphia's a collection of talented players, and they're 1-4. But Ralph, how many times was Michael Vick running for his life yesterday?
Oh, absolutely.
The entire game.
The O-line's a mess.
And Buffalo,
but look at the numbers he also put up, given that O-line.
Right. But Buffalo,
and he does it every week. They have an enormous offense. I mean, if you look at the yards and you look at the plays, I mean, they're capable of playing well, but the coaching on both sides of the ball, I think, has just been the real problem this year.
Buffalo had the fewest sacks in the NFL coming into that game. And Michael Vick was running for his life entire game.
No,
they have huge, huge issues. And they're in the NFC East. It's not getting any easier.
Ralph, you should be an Arizona Cardinals fan because we're happy with 1-4.
But 1-4, 1-4 in that division doesn't matter.
No, I know.
It doesn't. I mean, the Niners are good. They're 4-1. They're the surprise. But in that division, you can salvage 1-4. You don't do it. 5% of 1-4 teams make the playoffs.
But the good news is that the East, the NFC East, is a bit of a mess this year as well. I mean, nobody's really dominating.
Giants are struggling, obviously.
The Redskins look good, but the Giants and the Cowboys are both struggling as well.
Yeah, it's funny. The Giants had won 3 in a row. If they had just somehow found a way, if Victor Cruz doesn't drop that ball on the 10, they beat the Seahawks. They're 4-1, and people would have said, they survived the Seahawks. They're the class of the division. Now in New York, it's not nearly as bad as it is in Philadelphia, but now in New York, it's absolute panic time because Seattle, right? You guys know this. Seattle hadn't won on the East Coast, I believe, in 4 years.
Yes.
Nine straight games on the East Coast. So you don't lose that game at home to the Seahawks. That's an embarrassment. That's the embarrassment of the weekend.
This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking ahead in our remaining moments for football, good game tonight, right? Chicago-Detroit. I mean, at least a classic all-time old-school rivalry.
I love it. The Lions are 4-0. They get a Monday night. I don't think they've had a Monday night game in I think, 9 years or 10 years, something like that. And they get the Bears, a division game at home. The Bears have to prove that they're decent. The Lions have this ridiculous defensive front seven that will make Jay Cutler's life a nightmare. So you want to watch the reaction shots of Jay Cutler, who doesn't get enough credit, by the way, for playing as a diabetic. I mean, that guy, like Adam Morrison of the Lakers. Remember when he was playing as a diabetic?
Yes.
That's Jay Cutler as well. And they're going to beat the living snot out of him tonight.
Mm. And Cutler's not a guy who reacts well to pressure.
That's my point. You said it better than me, Ralph. Thank you.
He will throw a dozen picks tonight if they hit him early.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And he'll rip his helmet off, and he'll point fingers, and there'll be spit flying out of his mouth, and the cameras will chase him the entire time looking for those shots.
Well, it's a good time to be a Detroit sports fan with the Tigers and the Lions playing like they're playing right now. That's the Monday night game, though, is Chicago versus Detroit. We got to take a break. Andrew Siciliano is here. Of course, you can see him on the NFL Network every afternoon starting at 4 and then the Red Zone on DirecTV on Sundays. When we come back, I understand you have late-breaking news on the NBA lockout for us, Andrew. We're very excited about.
Maybe.
And also, Kevin is going to tell you why you're a bad person for not liking the UFC. Gosh. We've got both of those things straight ahead right after this on the Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Don't forget to keep listening to Your Way In to Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Coldplay, live from the new Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Your chance to win coming up at noon, 3, and 6. Right now it is 9:26.
That sentence was confusing!
We're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here on a Monday, Andrew Siciliano is in studio. We're talking sports. Here's my question for you, Andrew. And that is, how come the Simpsons voices were able to work it out with the network and with the production company and make new Simpsons episodes, yet there's no NBA basketball? If the Simpsons can figure it out, why can't the NBA figure it out?
How much did those guys get, by the way? I never saw the final number.
They haven't said either.
And did someone break off at the end? Didn't someone cross the line and say they would come back, or was it the other way around?
I don't think...
I'm confusing people. I'm sorry.
If that's true, I don't know. All I know is that it wasn't going to happen, and the drop-dead deadline was out there, and then the next thing you know, they came back and said, well, we just signed for 2 more seasons, supposed that they're making less money, but everybody's still going to be rich off of it.
Well,
so
they're beyond rich.
I'm just saying, take a page out of that, NBA, and go, hey, there's a way we can both make money here.
All right. I'm not going to say there's good news, because there isn't good news.
Okay.
However...
Is today some kind of deadline?
Today's the deadline. Today is where they said if they do not have a deal today, they being the league, David Stern, says we will cancel the first 2 weeks of the season. Now, the first 2 weeks is not that big of a deal.
Right.
It's what, like 7-8 games, if that?
Right.
Not that big of a deal, but you don't want to have that. Obviously.
Right, but isn't that kind of a foregone conclusion now, or am I just reading too much into it?
I think it is.
Yeah, it sounds to me like they've already given up on the whole season.
They say it isn't. Mm. Now, they met all day yesterday. Initially, they weren't going to meet. There was nothing scheduled before today's drop-dead date. They met all day yesterday, or 6 hours last night in New York.
Okay.
The players are supposed to convene here today in L.A. for a players-only, I don't know, whatever they call it, smoke-out. Right?
Okay.
So,
it's a smoke out.
The players, Derek Fisher and a bunch of the players who are in New York negotiating, have called off the LA meeting today so that they can stay in New York and still negotiate with the league.
Okay.
So, there are more meetings scheduled today.
Is that a good sign?
I think it is, but I'm also reaching.
Yeah.
I'm reaching.
But you're, as everyone is, you're looking for any sign of.
I'm looking for any sign
movement.
Of hope.
Yeah.
But here's. Here's where I think the NBA's got to be careful. Now, granted, I do work for the National Football League. Mm-hmm. I realize that. When the football lockout was going on, you could turn on SportsCenter. You could turn on NFL Network. You could turn on anything. And there you had breathless reporters on hot New York and D.C. sidewalks reporting with every bit of news that came out of that room around the clock. Have
right.
you seen that once for the NBA? It's been 5%, if that, of the coverage the NFL had. I'm not trying to say there aren't basketball fans out there. Obviously, we're all basketball fans.
But you know
None
what?
Of us want to see it canceled.
But you know what? I think that has to do with what we were told. We were told the football would probably get settled, and we were told the NBA probably won't.
So you think it's not getting covered because we just assume it's a dead-end street?
We've already accepted it, I think, to a certain extent,
so.
That it's likely that the season will be canceled.
Perfect example. Last week, David Stern, so the owners and the players had back-to-back press conferences, actually on Monday, I think, Monday or Tuesday, in which they set today's deadline.
Okay.
ESPN, a broadcast partner, the major broadcast partner for the NBA, did not take the players' press conference live. They took David Stern's press conference live for only 2 minutes and then dumped out of it to give a Packers injury update.
Well,
life for the living,
what
my
I'm
friend.
Saying is that if the NBA cancels 2 weeks of the season, see, you say no one cares. What I think will happen is the fans will go, oh, it's only 2 weeks. Eh, so big deal, we play 70 games. Yeah, we play 70. Because
yes,
we all know the NBA season is a drag anyway for 82 games. The
right.
players mail it in for at least a third of the games.
Yeah.
So maybe if we have a 70-game season, they'll actually focus and care a little bit more for those 70 games.
But they're not going to have that either, are they?
Okay, do you have people stopping you in the street saying, oh, I hope the basketball season gets back?
No.
I had more people stopping me in the street about the football season. We don't even have a football team here.
Yeah,
you're right.
So what does
you're
that say?
Right.
I'm not trashing the NBA. I love it. I just think that if a league wants to shut down, they need to be aware of the interest out there. Right? Because hockey lost a whole season.
They did.
No one cares except you.
It hurt them bad.
It hurt them bad.
They started playing poker on TV, and that's when people went, hey, we're getting better ratings with poker. And
poker
then the NHL's like,
still gets better ratings. And what was the NHL doing opening up at noon in Europe?
I don't know.
You want people to not watch your game? Open up on a Friday afternoon, a work day, in front of empty arenas in Sweden.
All right.
Yeah, oh, that'll bring
sense.
The fans in.
All right. While we're transitioning to other sports, we don't have much time, Andrew, but you have been long outspoken about your not even dislike, but disinterest in the UFC.
It's dislike and disinterest.
And I don't know. Oh, it's both. Okay.
It's, yeah.
I don't know why, because as a man who appreciates great athleticism,
sure.
you'd be hard pressed to find better athletes than some of these guys that are fighting these days.
At the top level, sure. Those FSN ones at 3 a.m. with the fat guys.
Yeah.
You know, fighting at Dairy Queens
Fat
in Milwaukee.
Everything.
Those ones are bad. Let me preface this by saying I work for DirecTV, and I ask all of you to order every UFC fight five times.
Having said
on
that,
pay-per-view on DirecTV.
Why are you a bad person and you do not order it?
I just think it's garbage.
What are you talking
I'll
about?
I'll tell you why. It's a bar fight.
So you didn't see this weekend's fights?
I don't even know who fought.
Oh, you're a bad human.
And honest to God, if you told me who fought and
Frankie
put their
Edgar.
Faces up on the wall, I couldn't match the name
with
the face.
Okay, but that's not... You shouldn't be proud of that.
No, I am proud of it.
Okay.
I am.
All right,
Mr. T fought. How about now? How do you like it now?
I saw him at LA Fitness. No, 24-Hour Fitness in the Valley a couple of years ago. Here's why. Because I realize boxing's bad. I'm not going to defend boxing. It's a bad sport right now. It's not interesting. Right. Floyd is boring, and he's a criminal at that. He has, what, eight things against him in courts in Vegas? But when I don't need to see someone choke a dude, put a knee in his larynx, and punch the side of his face until he yells, "Please, stop!" To me, that's a bar fight. I don't care if they're great athletes.
He doesn't yell.
Okay, whatever. Whatever.
And if UFC yells, fans,
oh, it's safe because they can tap out. But please.
Oh, it's not safe, okay, but it's awesome.
If I'm choking you and holding your head down with my knee while punching you in the nose, there is no other way to describe that, regardless of the level of fitness of the combatants,
then
as
awesome.
A bar fight. It's
a bar fight. That's so amazing.
It's
fights
an
this weekend.
Absolute bar fight. Okay,
Andrew,
I'm
going to
kick you in the knee a couple of times.
Is there a referee in a bar fight?
The whole fight is I'm going to stand there, I'm going to kick you in the knee like this, and then maybe while I kick you in the knee, I'm going to choke you, get you to the ground. I realize they're good athletes.
This is just embarrassing for you.
I realize there's a tactical aspect to it, and I respect it.
No, you don't.
But when they're on the ground, if I hold your head down, and while I hold your head down, I punch you in the face, that
I'm losing that fight.
That is a YouTube video. That is a YouTube video.
Andrew, let me ask you this question.
Crap at 3 in the morning for $19.99.
Let me ask you this question, Andrew. You've been around a long time.
Yes.
You've heard people make the exact same arguments that boxing is barbaric and shouldn't be allowed because it's just a bar fight.
It may be. No,
what's the difference? What's the difference between the two?
Because if I knock you down, it's over. I'm standing here. I don't jump on top of you and try to beat your brains in while you're defenseless.
That's why
on
UFC
the
is better.
That's what, but they can tap
so
anytime they
what
want.
What you're saying is you appreciate the barbarism and the bar fight. You want it to be a bar fight. You just told me that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But with a referee.
Okay, with a referee.
Let me
say
a sportscaster.
They fight in a cage.
Yes.
I mean, God, what else do you want me to say?
But that's like the attitude of like 10 years ago, the way people used to look at UFC.
The gladiators were huge in Rome before it fell, too.
Oh, Andrew, what's it like
to be
on the wrong
side
finally?
You didn't get to volunteer to be in those fights, though, Andrew. Right. That was what was bad about the gladiator fights.
That would have made it more fun, though, right?
I don't know.
I mean, really.
This is painful.
It's...
Can you guys still be friends?
I don't know. Not a big fan of Andrew.
I don't think we're going to be able to settle this here today. But Andrew Siciliano is the very best. You can see him, of course, Sundays on DirecTV while you're ordering up your next UFC fight.
Please, DirecTV.com. Order the fight.
And get the Red Zone while you're at it. And, of course, Total Access on the NFL Network. That's Monday through Thursday at 4 West Coast time. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew Siciliano. Particularly you UFC fans. Definitely want to drop him a line.
They've already dropped me.
On the Twitter. I know you've heard a lot. You're the best, man. Thanks a lot for coming in.
I thought a UFC fight was going to break out between Kevin and Andrew Siciliano there a minute ago. I'll tell you that.
He's just so wrong. It's hard for me to abide that.
Just a bar fight. That's what you mean.
It was heated, and it was entertaining, too. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Just announced earlier today, Breakfast with Coldplay. Give you a chance to win some more tickets, throughout the day here and also tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph joins us live from Universal Studios. How's the blood flowing down there?
Oh, Coldplay.
Yeah.
Oh.
What'd you think?
I said that was Cold Stone. I thought you guys were going to have ice cream.
No, that's the band. Very popular band.
I thought Cold Stone Creamery was coming down.
Wait,
that would be something to go to.
That'd be way awesome.
Yeah,
we should have them there.
Breakfast with Cold Stone
Creamery.
Yes. Yeah.
Should be at every breakfast.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Down here at Universal Studios Hollywood at the Suck It Up Blood Drive that we're doing all day long up until 4 p.m. today. Come on down and give blood. All you're doing is saving a life. That's all.
That's
something you do every day, right? No, you don't. So come down here and do it. Save a life, goddammit.
Whether you want to or not.
We're going to take your blood, and in exchange, we'll give you something for it. We've got passes for the red carpet world premiere of The Thing, the new movie The Thing. That's tonight here up at Universal Studios, up at the City Walk. We're going to have the red carpet world premiere. If you'd like to see the movie with all of the stars and the cast and crew, come on down and give some blood and pick up a pair of tickets. We also have concert tickets we're giving away as well. There's some left for Incubus and Morrissey and Death Cab for Cutie, Foster the People. It's really, you don't need to get something in return for saving a life, but because we know you're selfish bastards, we are going to give you something anyway, so come on down, won't you? There's a great crowd here, but we got plenty of room, so up until 4 p.m. we'll be taking your blood and giving away stuff, so come on out and check it out. We are at the Globe Theater, which is right across from the Terminator 2 3D ride up at Universal City Walk, the studios, park at the Frankenstein parking garage off of Lancashire, and then come on up and say hi. Tonight,
here's my blood.
And tonight on Fox at 9 p.m., a little TV show called House. I wanted to give it one more shout-out. They were kind enough for inviting me over to the set to film a little role, and by all accounts, I did not do well. So you may want to check that out so you can mock me tomorrow the way I'm sure Kevin would be.
You're Bobby.
I am Bobby.
Everybody's looking forward to Bobby.
That much we know for sure, that I will be Bobby. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Real Steel debuts at number one this weekend. $27.3 million made it number one. Right after that was George Clooney's movie, The Ides of March, with Ryan Gosling. Great cast. You got Philip Seymour Hoffman in there. Terrific cast. $10.4 million made it number two this weekend. Dolphin Tale was third. Moneyball and 50-50 run out the top 10. Courageous was sixth. That's that spiritual movie that everyone is talking about.
That's right.
That no one knew anything about before it came out. And
is there a single actor in it that we've ever heard of?
I don't think so.
I think maybe Nadia Sulman stars in this one.
I don't sure. think so.
The Octomom.
Ryan Gosling.
No, he's in Ides of March.
That was very helpful, though, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, very entertaining.
The Lion King. Oh, yeah.
Just trying to add to it.
The Lion King 3D was number seven at the box office. Then Dreamhouse, What's Your Number, and Abduction, rounding out the top 10. We're going to have a new mayor of Los Angeles.
Oh,
I'm very excited.
Please make this happen.
Prince Frederick von Anhalt.
Yay!
Who is the lunatic husband of actress Zsa Zsa Gabor. He has announced his candidacy for mayor of Los Angeles.
Nope.
Look, how many cities in these great United States of ours can say they have a prince for a mayor?
That's true.
Well, I think it's worth it just for that. He put up a billboard this weekend stating his platform, get Los Angeles back to work, lower taxes, lower DWP bills.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a big water bill.
I love him.
Also on his platform, extend McDonald's low-value menu. He wants to see more items on that.
He's tackling all the serious issues in his campaign.
He certainly is handling all the problems we have in Los Angeles. Yeah, forget the infrastructure.
I'm not suggesting that his priorities are out of whack, but doesn't he have an elderly wife who's in and out of the hospital, in and out of comas, barely hanging on?
Like
maybe
that's
he ought to
slow him down.
I'm just saying, maybe spend a little bit more time on that, a little less time on worrying about the McDonald's menu.
Hey, Bean, as our guest tomorrow, William Shatner, will tell you, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one, okay?
That's true. He's called, I guess.
I've heard him say it.
He's doing what it takes in order to get us back up on our feet, and I appreciate that. A lot of moms give a lot of advice to their daughters, but none more helpful, I think, than what Nicole Murphy gave to her daughter, Bria. Now, Bria is also the daughter of Eddie Murphy.
Ah.
She's 21 years old, and she is in this month's Maxim magazine.
Oh, all right.
And Bria says her mom gave her advice on how to pose suggestively for the photographs.
Oh! Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Mom pulled her inside and said, pretend you're the most beautiful woman on earth, and pretend the camera is the hottest guy in the world. And
by all accounts,
that advice served her well, because the photo's apparently very hot. This is the same woman, by the way, who gave her daughter a pole for her fifth birthday. So that's all you need to know about the Murphy family. It was a Fisher-Price My First Making It Rain set.
I didn't know they had that.
Yeah, they do. It's great.
That's great.
Toys R Us. Celebrity Rehab is gone. Dr. Drew Pinsky apparently is ending the run of his successful reality series because he's got he's got seven daytime talk shows he's got to do. And
what are celebrities supposed to do when they get hooked?
Apparently, Drew is also dabbling in medicine these days. I've heard that.
How dare you?
But VH1 has said they are going to start a new program called Relationship Rehab, where well-known couples will hash out their problems in therapy on national television.
Nope.
It's a horrible idea.
For our amusement. No word on who will replace Drew, but apparently Drew will not be attached to Relationship Rehab.
No way. Not ever.
I'd like to volunteer my own services, by the way.
You'd be the...
Naked.
I'd like to get Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore on the couch and solve their problems for them.
That'd be awesome.
Yes. I'd say, Demi, eat something.
That's all?
Simpsons. That's all it takes.
All right.
Simpsons has been saved. We were worried last week. We may have seen the end of the Simpson family, but it looks like they're going to be back not only for a 24th, but a 25th season. Contract negotiations have been settled, and the entire cast will be returning to the animated program. No word on what the final numbers were, but rumors have it that they just accepted the producer's demand of a pay cut, and they are not getting the back-end merchandising sharing as they'd originally asked for. But
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
They are additional, getting another year's worth of work, so it seems like it's worthwhile. We've got a new Bond girl. Her name is Berenice Marlowe. She is a beautiful French actress who will be the latest of the James Bond girls in that franchise. The 23rd film will be out sometime in, it doesn't say here when it's coming out, but it'll be out soon enough. Skyfall, apparently, is the title for the film. So
that's the temporary title.
No, that's the real title.
That's it.
Mikey Welsh of Weezer has passed away. He was the bassist for Weezer from 1998 to 2001. He was found unconscious and not breathing in a Chicago hotel room on Saturday. He had left a checkout time of 1 p.m., and he didn't leave then. So the hotel staff went to check on him, and apparently that's when they found him. They are going to charge him for the additional night, apparently, because...
Oh, that's just cold.
He didn't check out in time, which I think is just wrong. Look, you know, he checked out. He just didn't leave the room.
He didn't leave, right.
I think his lawyers have an excellent case. Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong is turning to acting. After a successful turn on Broadway, he's now turning his talents to television. He will be appearing on the season opener of Showtime's Nurse Jackie.
It's pretty prestigious.
Not playing himself. No word on the role he will be playing. Hope it's not Bobby, because that's my role.
You have spoken for that role.
But the executive producer tweeted a photo of Billy Joe and the series star Edie Falco yesterday, saying, "Wait till you see the season premiere." So apparently people are very excited about Billy Joe's turn on television.
Wouldn't it be awesome, Ralph, if your Bobby appearance on House Tonight is such a sensation that all shows start working Bobby in? You come by and make a cameo on Two Broke Girls, and then over here on Prime Suspect.
There had been talk about a Bobby spinoff, so I'm waiting to see the new fall season.
But that was
schedule
you were
Fox.
Talking about that, weren't you?
No, people were.
Oh,
you
people.
Know. Yeah.
I see.
Celebrity birthdays today on October the 10th. David Lee Roth is 57 years old today. Bradley Whitford celebrates his 52nd birthday. Wendy McClendon Covey, who was so funny in Bridesmaids, 42 years old. Mario Lopez, Saved by the Bell fame. He was Slater on that program, now works on Extra. That or he just hangs around the Grove picking up chicks. I can't quite figure it out. He's 38 years old. Maya celebrates her 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have William Shatner in the studio.
I love him so much.
I am Iron Man.
He's got a new album, new book. We're going to talk to William Shatner tomorrow morning. We also have Sarah Michelle Gellar.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're going to bring in some highlights of Bobby. It's Bobby.
Oh,
that's
good.
The new series.
It's Bobby.
It's Bobby.
It's Bobby.
It's my new sitcom.
And we have Breakfast with Coldplay. Your tickets, we announced it earlier this morning. Keep listening for your chance to win them throughout the day. And then tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.